My father told me when I was a child, people in authority lie. And we all, if we are going to continue to live in a democracy, we need to understand that people in authority lie. People in authority will abuse every power that we relinquish to them. And right now, we are giving them the power to micromanage every bit of our lives 24 hours a day. They're going to know where we are. They're going to know the money that we spend. They're going to have access to our children. They're going to have the right to compel unwanted medical interventions on us. We, you know, the Nazis did that in the camps in World War II. They tested vaccines on gypsies and Jews. And the world was so horrified after the war that we signed the Nuremberg Charter. And we all pledged when we do that, we would never again impose unwanted medical interventions on human beings without informed consent. And yet in 2 years, all of that conviction has suddenly disappeared. And people are walking around in masks where the science has not been explained to them. They are doing what they're told. They are these government agencies are orchestrating obedience. And it is not democratic. It's not the product of democracy. It's the product of a pharmaceutical-driven biosecurity agenda that will enslave the entire human race and plunge us into a dystopian nightmare where the apocalyptical forces of ignorance and greed will be running our lives and ruining our children and destroying all the dreams and dignity that we hope to give to our children.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Friday, September 10th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Apologies for the delayed start. We're having some issues on Super U again today, and it's not working on the channel, so I apologize for that. Please let everybody know out there to go elsewhere today because it doesn't seem to be working on Super U. So the links are all out there. The link for the main channel, the main website, please share that instead of anything else. We have a great show for you today. A lot to get into. Pretty much a vindication show yet again, but specifically around the idea that the risk that's being given, the risk that you are getting by taking this injection, if you're the one of the people out there doing that, is very obvious now. And all the information that's coming, even from the mainstream media, it's important to see. The Guardian put out an article today vindicating or confirming or saying, I shouldn't say, not that they say it makes it confirmed, but saying the same thing that we just talked about that was just censored on other platforms. It's in regard to myocarditis specifically. But we have other things coming from France, mainstream articles coming out and telling you in Australia. It's very obvious that more people are dying from the injection than they are from anything else. And we're also seeing this from Scotland. We're seeing this in a lot of different locations. The Exposé doing a great job on this topic. We're going to go over their article today. It's just a little bit, it's unbelievable that we're watching this happen, but I don't see how this can be anything other than sinister. Right? Malvoyant, like really like evil type action, knowing that this is happening, because what we're going to show you today is this is being actively covered. People are choosing to make sure that they manipulate the data just right so it doesn't look like a certain way until you chop it up the way you need to make it seem, or like to see it the way that makes sense in regard to certain time periods, right? If you just lump in all the numbers, well, there's a time period when most people were unvaccinated. What we're looking at is when the vaccination started. And when you look at that information from that time period, it's obvious that since this has started, far more people are being hurt by this thing. And this is not to say for those people out there, it's important to be objective. It's not to say that there's not some categories that people may believe are this is, you know, the bottom line, not even to go into that, is that it should be your choice. If you believe that the people that are 60 plus with multiple comorbidities and all these different categories could benefit from something like this, then of course, then you should be able to choose to do that if you're that person. The point is that we are being forced into this position. And the other point we'll talk about today is Biden telling you exactly what we told you would eventually happen. That they're now mandating this for now, first step, at least in the mandate part, for federal employees. You have to take this now if you want to remain a federal employee. And we're going to get into some really unnerving parts about, well, yeah, there's medical exemptions and religious exemptions, except we're going to quietly say that and then let the companies put them on leave without talking about it. It's really, really sinister what's happening right now. Choice is what we always pretend this is about. And today they're acting like it doesn't even play a factor because you're a bad person for not doing the taking the choice when there's only one option to do the right thing. There's no choice here. There's never been a no on the table, as we keep telling you. Biden's stressing to you, what are you missing? What do you need to see? Wait, so you're telling me I have a choice, but you're going to continue to batter me down for the next third? I mean, it's just insulting to our intelligence to pretend that there's even a choice being given as they continue to circle back and force this down your throat. So today we are going to start off with a clip that I want you to see. Actually was going to play that to open as I just remembered, but we'll play it since I have it lined up right now. Play the clip really quickly for you and we'll play it again as we get into this.
A study that came out of Israel about natural immunity, and basically the headline was that natural immunity provides a lot of protection, even better than the vaccines alone. What are people to make of that? So as we talk about vaccine mandates, I get calls all the time. People say, I've already had COVID, I'm protected, and now the study says maybe even more protected than the vaccine alone. Should they also get the vaccine? How do you make the case to them?
You know, that's a really good point, Sanjay. I don't have a really firm answer for you on that.
Sorry, I don't have an answer for why we're completely ignoring the most obvious reality of what we've talked about as our foundational concept. You know, like everything we base this science on around vaccination, around everything, is it's on the concept of natural immunity. It's supposed to be striving to be as good as that. We've always understood this until COVID clown world. And now I can't believe he can sit there and say, well, you know, I don't have an answer for why we're completely ignoring that thing that's obviously more important and better lasting, and on, as even Gupta is pointing out. It's ridiculous. Now, we're going to talk about natural immunity in the context of the points we're going to start with today. We'll get to that later in the show. A new study that adds to this as well. But it's really ridiculous. Oh, but one more thing before we get into this. So I had things I was going to start with, but the delay there screwed me up a little bit. I want to make sure we shout something out in regard to the pirate stream, what we're still doing. It's really interesting to me what YouTube has been doing lately. Now, somebody made a really great channel, as you can see, for those that are on YouTube. Why are you there? Who knows why you're still on YouTube? But it's called Americana Vagabonda. It is a pirate channel, a combination of laziness, being incredibly busy, and just wanting to see what YouTube is going to do. I've continued to use this one channel for this last week because we're getting a lot of views on this channel, and it's interesting that they're letting it happen. We just got the first strike, and guess what that was for? It was for the discussion of myocarditis and the overview of the ADA and HIPAA. And these are all very verifiable facts and information, and we're pointing out the myocarditis studies, and they censored it as fake news. And if we're going to start off today with what The Guardian just said, exactly what we just talked about. It's just ridiculous where we are right now. But my point in saying this was I'm interested in why YouTube is allowing this channel to continue to get lots of views, but then today I saw that they censored that video, so we'll see where it goes. But also because I'm busy and it's more difficult to grab and set up these new channels, but we, all those out there that have been sending it, and for those that may not know, we're doing T-Lab pirate streams, which means we're pirate radio right into point is, if you're out there and interested in helping us continue to fight YouTube, send us your channels, take part. Otherwise, continue to go anywhere else, please do so anyway. But I thought it was interesting to see how they were kind of not cracking down for a moment. Who knows what's going on? But to start off, I wanted to... wait a minute. Okay, just making sure. We saw some weird stuff in the beginning. I just got a notification from Restream, just making sure we're not offline. It does look like we're good. Let me know in the chat. Make sure we're still good. Making sure. Okay, that's interesting. I wonder why that just happened. But keeping going. The interesting part about this is that I'm seeing just a lot of weird stuff happening lately with these platforms like StreamYard and different things, and you know, everything's happening. So I'm always on the lookout for something new. But to start off, we just talked about myocarditis, right? And the real point to me showing, talking about this in the last show we did, the second part of this, the deliberately obscured serious risk of myocarditis, please watch this if you want to know fully what's going on there. But it is really crazy the level of obfuscation, how clearly this is a serious thing. And you can talk to cardiologists. They'll tell you there's no such thing as a mild case of myocarditis. And then the Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine and plenty of others are telling you there's an absolutely increased risk of myocarditis in some cases three times. Now, this is not a guarantee that you're going to die, that something serious is going to happen. But the bottom line is the study we just recently showed you is that even a non-serious case of myocarditis, according to the peer-reviewed study, can increase your risk or your mortality from 25 to 56% over the next 10 years. That's incredible to me. And we're letting our children take this injection that can cause that with a 0% risk. Yes, that's what's happening. 0%, and you're increasing your risk. That's not hard. Maybe you weren't too good in math, but it's zero is less than anything else that's above that, right? So clearly, if you're giving them a risk, 0% is better. And here we are. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up again is because, well, really quickly, before we get to the Guardian article, I wanted to play something that somebody shared with me that Jimmy Kimmel just said, maybe kind of ridiculously not realizing that he just said, admitting the something we're pointing out all the time. But listen to what he says here, and I'll make my comments afterward. Oh, you know, and I'm sorry to make you listen to this, but just one second.
Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. You know, I have to say, when I walk into a room at home, nobody claps. There's no clapping. It's good to be back. You know, I've been on vacation since the end of June. And when I left, I assumed things would be back to normal when I got back. I thought we'd have, you know, full audience with no masks. I was ready to get back to French kissing the guests and... Yeah, here we are, masks, half an audience. I leave you people alone for 2 months. You start taking horseworm medicine?
Right. Yeah, of course. I think I pulled it back too far. The typical mainstream media, nonsensical based on no facts at all. Horse paste, ha ha ha. We're going to forget the fact that this is a peer-reviewed, very highly efficacious substance being used all around the world, including on Afghan refugees right now that are coming in the United States. But who cares? It's all horse paste because we like fake news. But let's continue.
What a weird summer. Britney is free and every woman in the state of Texas isn't. It's starting to get worried. Where's Jimmy? Seriously, in which case, maybe we're all in hell. I don't know. All I know is it's very good to be wearing makeup again.
It's weird.
That's one thing, because very good to be wearing.
Okay, what in the heck? What in the heck? Now I'm getting frustrated. See, I showed you this guy. I showed you this before. I should just skip this right now because it's not that important. But what's funny is the transcript will not come up for me, as I've shown you before. Interestingly, because YouTube has blacklisted me. You can't see it. I'm opening it on the private channel, which the transcript comes up immediately, which shows you that they are absolutely blocking me. But I'm going to find Heart Attack 252. There we go. And we're back and running. I don't know how I lost my place on that. 250. Here we go.
Fun Labor Day weekend, COVID-wise. The number of new cases is up more than 300% from a year ago. Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. That choice doesn't seem so tough to make. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
Okay, great. So first of all, let's make fun of people who are trying to do things to better their situation, even if they're uninformed and making a bad choice. And in the context of actual horse paste, which, by the way, is not a real thing that's actually happening the way they're describing it. It is. I'm sure somebody out there is doing that, right? But the point is, that story is ridiculous and so patently stupid and obviously false. But did you catch what he said? Oh, vaccinated person having a heart attack? Step right this way. What do you mean vaccinated person having a heart attack? I thought that was fake news, right? I mean, so you're telling me that we're dealing with such overcrowding that we need to make choices between so many vaccinated people having heart attacks and people eating horse paste? Which, by the way, how can you simultaneously be overwhelmed with COVID patients also being overwhelmed with ODs for something that's not really happening? Because it's just narrative. It's just, we'll sell you the narrative that works. We're overwhelmed with horse pay stuff. Oh, wait, next day we're overwhelmed with COVID cases. Oh, the next day we're overwhelmed with, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Now, the point is we can show you the facts, which we always do, which show you that this is not really what's happening. Sort of the case that we show you from places in England that admit, based on their FOIA request, that they don't actually have the situation they're telling you they do, or the fact that every single year they tell you we're overwhelmed, that our hospitals are getting overcrowded. Flu season, it's overcrowded every month. This is not a new thing, but the point to show you was the thing that he's admitting, that apparently there's heart attacks in vaccinated people. It's common enough to, you can make a joke about it on nightly news. And whether they want you to know that or not, that's why it's in everybody's minds. It's constant. And they know that. And that is why The Guardian is saying this today. This is today. We just reported this. And as I pointed out before, our video was censored. The video about myocarditis risk coming from peer-reviewed research. Now, by the way, I was going to show this today, but in the interest of time, I put it off to tomorrow. Star showed me today that TikTok is censoring us almost. We're about to be pulled to completely bumped off the entire platform. Star has been censored from commenting because she's commenting the link for The Last American Vagabond under the videos. But right now there's somebody who's absolutely openly doxing nurses who aren't getting vaccinated, giving their personal information, their addresses, absolutely openly on TikTok, getting hundreds of thousands of views, and they don't care about it because it's okay to break the law to point out those evil anti-vaxxers, right? Because that's what matters today. You see how ridiculous this is? And we're pointing to peer-reviewed research on clips, and they're censoring us because we're dangerous. But it's not dangerous to send maniac people to the homes of nurses who choose to take their own decision, they make their own choice in their medical personal. Yeah, that's the okay stuff today. But here's the point. The Guardian for the podcast, boys more at risk from Pfizer jab side effects than COVID. Just in case you didn't hear that, the headline from The Guardian, boys, so younger, obviously, more at risk from Pfizer the injection, the COVID injection, then, excuse me, Pfizer side effects, then COVID. So right now, the fact that they're forcing this on children under the guise that this is safer for them, that the benefits outweigh the risks, everything we kept getting parroted, that's not true. And of course, they're saying based on the study suggests, now, of course, that could be wrong. There could be all sorts of things around this, but we have shown you continually nonstop from the beginning to now that there is a waterfall of evidence showing you exactly that, especially because, same old thing, they are at zero risk. It's not too difficult to put this together. If you have a zero risk, anything is more of a risk. Anything. But yet they don't care about that. So the reality that they're saying this grudgingly now, way after the fact, because of the same studies that we just showed you on top of the next one, it just shows you how hard it is. And even The Guardian is going, well, like, we got to do this. I mean, maybe that's what's happening. But the bottom line is, regardless of what their motive is, this is what is the data is there. The evidence is there. The peer-reviewed science is there. The only other side of this is the government and the media telling you the other side, the opposite. The media and the government telling you the opposite. We are showing you the facts, the data, the backup, the reality. They're telling you what they want you to hear based on narrative. And we're going to blow this away today throughout the show. Now, it goes on to say, healthy boys may be more likely to be admitted to hospital with a rare side effect, rare, you know, they're still saying, how can you be more likely to get a rare side effect than the, I mean, it's just so funny how they just, you know, they're still putting that stuff in there with a rare side effect of the Pfizer biotech COVID vaccine that causes inflammation of the heart, otherwise known as myocarditis, than COVID itself, U.S. researchers claim. Their analysis of medical data suggests that boys aged 12 to 15, the group they're right now trying to force this into their arms, with no underlying medical conditions, are four to six times more likely to be diagnosed with vaccine-related myocarditis than ending up in a hospital with COVID over a four-month period. So the point is that they are at more risk of developing something that is absolutely serious that increases their mortality by 25 to 56% over the next 10 years than they are from even going to the hospital from this thing, from whatever we want this to be. But the point is, nonetheless, 0% risk, according to all the people they tell us to trust. So that risk, that six-time increased risk of myocarditis, whether or not it ends up being fatal, is still more of a risk. It's pretty simple. Most children who experienced the rare side effect had symptoms within days of the second shot, though a similar side effect seen with the Moderna jab, right? The mRNA, this is, again, from The Guardian, about 86%. Of the boys affected required some hospital care. So this whole argument that, oh, it's super mild and it goes away tomorrow. Well, obviously that's not backed up by the facts. If here's The Guardian citing the information from the study, which polls, this is the full picture. 86% of the people from the beginning to now, of the children, of the boys affected, required hospital care. How can 86% of the kids who got myocarditis from the injection needing hospital care mean translate into most of it was mild and it didn't hurt them? This is so incredibly dishonest and dangerous. What they have been telling you, from what the CDC has been telling you, is dangerous medical misinformation, because this is the reality. Now, I'm not saying that because this study says. I'm saying this because all of the peer-reviewed research has continued to tell you this. And based on everything we've ever done up until now, that's the body of evidence they've always used to make their arguments and their scientific consensus. So if it means something then, it means something now. And the point is that this is enough to argue that you're at risk. Now, this is just 12 to 15. We're going to get into everybody else. You are at, in my opinion, everybody across the board is adding risk to their life by taking this thing. That's my opinion. Now, going forward to the study I want to show you. Oh, there was one more part. It goes on to say down here, the overwhelming majority of myocarditis appears after the second dose of the vaccine. So offering single shots could protect children while reducing their risk of side effect. And I wanted to read that because the point is they're still trying to shoehorn in the injection. Can you believe that? Like, so here we are at a point where we're going, yeah, this is increasing their risk. It's increasing the risk of people who previously had no risk, right? But maybe one shot though. It's like, how can you even justify something like that? Like, clearly I could go off on that forever. But it bothers me that even that happens while we're admitting the risk that is being added. But going forward, on September 8th, this is the study they're pointing to. This is on top of the other ones I've already shown you. This is the one I referenced a moment ago just because I want to include it because I referenced it, right? This is a 2009 peer-reviewed study about myocarditis in general. Excuse me, 2012 about myocarditis. And just very clearly, okay, non-filament, meaning non-serious active myocarditis, has a mortality rate of 25 to 56% within 3 to 10 years, owing to progressive heart failure and sudden cardiac death. Does that sound familiar to what we're seeing? Athletes just dropping in the middle of a field, especially if symptomatic heart failure manifests early on. Okay, so these people are getting this thing within days after the second shot. Doesn't that sound like early on? Okay, so in 10 years, they potentially have a 56% risk of mortality. This is disgusting. This is the study they're referencing in the Guardian article. So CAE stands for cardiac adverse event. Conclusions. Post-vaccination cardiac adverse event rate was highest in young boys aged 12 to 15 following dose 2. This incidence exceeds their expected 120-day COVID-19 hospitalization rate at both moderate and high COVID-19 hospitalization incidence. Further research into the severity and long-term, forget how do you pronounce that again. So that's such an interesting, I forget, I remember looking this up last time we talked about this. A condition which is the consequence of a previous disease of post-vaccination cardiac adverse event is warranted. Quantification of the benefits of the second vaccination dose and vaccination in addition to natural immunity in this demographic may be induced to minimize harm, or excuse me, indicated to minimize harm. This study itself on a preprint server, of course, that's always important to point out, doesn't mean that it's any less valid than anything else. Look at the data, look at it for yourself, is telling you not only that this is an increased risk, but they're telling you that we need to consider natural immunity. Why? And it's just, Fauci will just kind of brush it off like, well, we don't even have an answer for that. This guy is literally claiming his whole entire career is in this field, and you don't have an answer for natural immunity based on all the scientific studies, including coming from the NIH, to say there's lasting immunity after natural immunity. I mean, come on. Crazy to me. But so this is what the Guardian's reporting, okay? So taking all this in, based on what we just reported on top of that, and I want to reiterate, by the way, much, much, much more to back this up in my recent discussion. Deliberately obscured serious risk of myocarditis. As always, the links are all right here for you. And this is why they censor it, because it's all right there for you to do your due diligence for. All this is myocarditis right here, all that. Some of them being tweets and stuff too, but there's scientific studies in there. Now, taking that in stride and understanding that there is a very obvious risk that even the Guardian is now admitting to, which I'm only saying it like that, not to say that it means something more because they said it, but because even the mainstream media, who's been just actively just gaslighting and burying everything, is now telling you something that they just censored me for saying. It's very obvious this is real. So coming to the next point, the Expose, who previously was the Daily Expose, are doing an absolutely fantastic job. They really do a great job in this. Now, there's always things I would nitpick about plenty of sites. I'm sure people do the same to me, right? That regardless of different points they may make or, you know, partisan, subjective, whatever, which I'm sure I do too all the time in my 4-hour rants. They do a great job of their own investigation, their own due diligence, and citing what they have to find. I can't stress that enough. I feel like this is one of the best. I actually just subscribed today. I think they're doing a great job. Now, this article is crazy because it shows you I'm thinking of the next one, which you guys are going to love. It's coming up shortly. It's also from the Expose. This one is about the fact that they're basically bribing governments to get these kids injected. After what we just showed you, by the way, after plenty of information that shows you, one, they have no risk of actually getting sick and going and dying from this. Two, that the injection increases their risk, not just of myocarditis, but a lot of other things. And three, that they probably have natural immunity because half this country does, based on the underestimates from the CDC themselves from months ago. 160 plus, they said. Now we're way past that. And of course, then you remember, and we'll get into this in a second, that the natural immunity, if you have it, is lasting, robust, and it's not just antibodies, and not just for 23 different variants, as Science Magazine told you, as opposed to just one for the spike protein, which is what the injection does, for something that's no longer even around, because they tell you it's the Delta, and that's for the original, right? But it also, the natural immunity gives you, so they tell us, based on their narrative, memory, B, T-cell immunity. Like the things that they keep telling you, the full picture, as well as mucosal immunity. All the things that actually create a work. This is why people who are in natural immunity are seemingly having no problem, while the injections seem to be continuing to increase the problem. Now, NIH document shows GPs to be paid, general practitioners to be paid, an additional $10 or 10 pounds for every child they inject with a COVID injection, on top of the $12.58 already received. Now, why would that be? And of course, they say Google's trying to hide it, which we'll look at that in a second. I'm sure they are, but I have to point out something just to be clear. Why would they increase the money? Why would the injection be more valuable in a child's arm than for anybody else? It's not like they have to do any more work. In fact, maybe less work, right? So what is it exactly? Why? What's the increase? Almost not just doubling. You know, you're giving 10, you're giving 1250, not 1258 more, 10 more on top of the 1258. You're giving them almost the entire amount over to inject children. So this is an incentive, however you look at this, that is a financial incentive for people to inject children, despite the fact that they don't need it and you're increasing their risk. Now it says a Daily Expose. Well, I guess they are still calling themselves Daily Expose. I just only say that because I saw them change this, the Expose. The Daily Expose investigation can reveal that all GPs are to be paid $22.58 for every dose given to a child as an incentive. The search engine Google is trying to hide it. And the NHS is advising vaccinators that parental consent is not required, which you all know because we've already told you this. Same in the US. They're telling you, nah, you don't need to do it, right? We can decide if they're, you know, well, they can be young too. You can have young kids come in. I forget the age difference in you know, the UK versus the United States, but children can come in and they can decide for them if they feel like they're smart enough to give consent for themselves. When has that ever been acceptable? There is a law, a law on the books that says that's okay, but that doesn't make it okay. You know, you can't pretend that this kid can't go join the military or buy a cigarette or drive a car, except this doctor can be like, yeah, you look like you understand, based on their personal political opinions, right? Not hard to see how that works. But it's happening here too, right? The Ubers can pick up your children, bring them to an ice cream store where they get an injection. And it's all good because COVID good today. COVID injections good based on the narrative. But going forward, it says, of course, there was cause for celebration with the announcement that an experimental injection would not be given to the children of the UK. Now, this was only because their advisory board said they would wait. But I still think the UK, as we just told you yesterday or day before yesterday, is going to do it anyway. They even said that. They said, well, we disagree. Yeah, expert board we hired for this purpose. We don't agree with your science. We're going to go politics like we have every other time. But it says, but the celebrations were short-lived because instead of flat out refusing the recommendation to jab kids, instead they passed the buck to the medical officer, Whitty, meaning the fate of the nation's children now lies in his hands. And as well as Scotland, Wales, North Ireland. This is Chris Whitty, who we've seen just make a bungle of the entire thing, along with everybody else in these leading positions in the Western world of the government and everywhere in the world for that matter. The government also sent a letter to the four CMOs upon the boards, the board, the panel, the JCVI is the panel for that the UK is ignoring their announcement, instructing them to review the decision with immediate effect, showing how desperate they are to really give an experimental injection that does not prevent infection or transmission to children. So desperate, in fact, that the health secretary has already instructed the NHS to prepare for vaccinating children, despite them saying not to do it, despite them not doing it. They're going to prepare anyway because it's inevitable. That's the impression. One has to question why they're so desperate when the latest public health data shows that 75% of COVID-19 deaths in the summer third wave consisted of people who were vaccinated, and shows that the jabs seem to be increasing the risk of hospitalization and death significantly rather than reducing the claimed 95%. And we're going to get into that next. And this is backed up by their own data, and they did a great job on this. But it says the answer, of course, can only be one that seems sinister, and I agree with that. However, we can exclusively reveal, the expose can, that GPs are essentially being bribed to vaccinate children via financial incentives, and it can all be found on their official NHS document. Now, it may surprise you to know, and the links are all in here for you to find, it may surprise you to know that GPs were already being incentivized to inject the adult population with an experimental COVID treatment. This is even before their obvious illusion of approval, even though it is actually approved. It's still an illusion the way they're playing this, and only 15 and up is approved, and only for Comirnaty Pfizer. That has caused at least 1.1 million adverse reactions, 1.6 thousand deaths, with a payment of $12.58 for every dose administered. Now, yes, these are the reported adverse reactions and deaths. Now, it goes on to say, well, it seems that kind of money isn't enough of an incentive to inject children with the same experimental COVID-19 treatment, because the NHS have told GPs that they are entitled to an additional payment of $10 on top, pounds, on top of the $12.58 that they are already entitled to. Just see point 14 of this NHS document entitled Vaccinated Children and Young People Found Here. Now, hold on. Did I miss that? Oh, right here. I did have it right here. That's what I was making sure I didn't skip something. So this is right here, just so you can see it, as I always want to do. This is the document itself. You can see it right there. Okay, this is the official NHS document. This is why I appreciate what the expose is doing, because they give you the tools, right? 14, is there a financial supplement for vaccinating eligible 12 to 15 year olds? Yes. I don't even understand why that makes sense. You're incentivizing them to get children. This is because this has always been a very obvious agenda from the very beginning. They were seemingly desperate to get this in children's arms. They've never obviously needed it. Remember, even in the United States, they keep parroting this number of 300 something deaths of children, except even Newsweek pointed out that they haven't investigated any of them, literally zero. They have not investigated whether or not any of those children actually died from COVID. That came directly from Newsweek, and I verified it using the source material they gave. It's a fact. They're just taking it at face value and continuing to say that number even to this day. It's just staggering how dishonest all of this is. But yes, an additional $12.58 item of service fee, addition to the $12.58 service fee, more money, $10, 10 pounds. Goes on to say GPs across the UK could stand to make a combined £142.45 million should they choose to vaccinate all the children. Of course, that's, you know, likely not to happen, all of them. But you see, there's a £142 million possibility out there, and a slice therein for whoever tries to go after this and makes it a point to get all the children. Of course, in their mind, and probably the mind of the administration, it's doing a good thing because we need them to get that way. You know, that's the point. People are so brainwashed into making this the case that they're willing to ignore morals, integrity, the law. It says, any guesses for where that money comes from? That's right. You, right? The taxes you pay from your hard-earned income. So therefore, you will be paying GPs to administer an experimental injection to children over the age of 12 who do not need it, because less than nine children have died in the UK since March 2020 with COVID-19. And that's even with their manipulated statistics and manipulated everything. And every single one had extremely serious debilitating pre-existing conditions. You know why that is? Because they were already in the hospital, most likely, and they tested them because they were in the hospital, and then they died from something else, and they called it COVID-19 because they died within 28 days. They have already told you that's the case. I played the clip for you. It's just ad nauseum. But the point is, people don't care. People who don't want to hear this don't care. They don't believe it. They don't want to hear it. They see the video and they go, it's probably fake. It's probably a deep fake. They've already decided. Doesn't mean you shouldn't keep trying, because that's what I do every day. I keep trying. But it says, but it gets better, because the search engine giant and the king of censorship, Google, does not want you to know about it. Just type in, is there a financial supplement for vaccinating 12 to 15 year olds, 12 to 15, into Google, and the top result takes you to the NHS document. Now, they're probably in a different part of the world. but it says what they're showing you. And I don't doubt it for a second. You always question everything, but I would, my gut would tell me that they did see this. They took a picture of it to show you. And it seems to say, no, is there a financial incentive? It says no right there. Interesting. However, I did it myself just to test it because that's what we do here at T-Lab. And I got this, which actually down here further, and it says yes. So just, you know, for full transparency, my guess is it probably does say that. Maybe over there is the difference. Maybe it changed after the fact. I mean, we've seen this happen already from our work. We'll cover something and it will change moments later. So clearly they're up on what people are talking about. The expose has probably got a good reach. My guess is it probably changed. But who knows? It's for you to decide for yourself. But does we all know that Google manipulates the search engine, the results? They tell you they do that. That's an open secret today. It's not even a secret. They are removing and what they decide is fake news, disinformation, pretty obviously. But going forward, it says, but your outrage shouldn't end there because the NHS document also reveals that NHS bosses are telling vaccinators they do not require parental consent to administer an experimental COVID-19 injection to children, or what the companies call investigational, which is synonymous with experimental, even on their own websites. Point number 5 of the document states that appropriate consent must be obtained in all cases for 12 to 15 year olds. This would be parental consent or the child's own consent where they have been assessed as competent to consent to vaccination. So it's just a sidestep. It's just an obvious sidestep. Well, so the doctor decides? Well, so then there's no consent process. If the doctor can be like, you look good, come on up, you look smart. But obviously they're pretending it's much more thorough than that. But are we going to pretend that some people won't just decide because it's probably good? Like, wink, wink, we know it's all those anti-vaxxers out there making the problem. Come on, 6-year-old, you're good, right? We know that's going to happen. It's a fact because people will make their decisions for themselves. Doesn't mean that every doctor, doesn't mean it's all of them, doesn't mean it's the majority. But we know that that when you open this door, people will make political decisions. And it's so insulting that people pretend that doesn't happen when it's politically advantageous for them. This is known as the Glick competent, and it applies to under 16s, under 16s. So you could come in there as a 4-year-old, and if they decide that, then it works, who believe to have enough intelligence, competence, and understanding to fully appreciate what's involved in their treatment. This should never be applied because, as we know, even adults are not able to understand and fully appreciate what's involved in their treatment because the NHS and everywhere else refuse to tell them. Most people don't even know that there's the myocarditis risk. As that woman just said, we weren't fully informed. Or how about the antibody-dependent enhancement risk of, you know, the significant and what was the other word they used? The specific and significant risk from that peer-reviewed study. They found very clearly this is a risk and it needs to be informed to people. Otherwise, we're not meeting informed consent. And none of that happened. That was back in December 2020, right? They're not being informed. They know they're not informing them and they don't care. There's no legal system holding these people accountable. But it says, how many young males who have received the COVID-19 injection have been told there are serious risks of developing myocarditis? How about none of them? They tell them, nah, it's rare. It's rare. It's uncommon. And you're fine after a day. That's what they're telling people. Great job on this, finding out that they're bribing people. But of course, this is what we're seeing from the CDC, doubling down to argue the same ridiculous thing they just tried to get to argue, despite the fact that they got caught lying about this. Remember this? The whole point was they came out and said, no, Mo, it's 99.5% unvaccinated in the hospitals. And then they got caught from taking data from only the first half of the year, right? People that never wanted to see that never realized they got caught because they didn't care, because they didn't look at it. They just took the same number and kept running with it, then figured the data that came out to counter it was probably fake news. They got caught. They took data from the first half of the year when the vast majority of people were unvaccinated. This is the reality. I mean, I might as well just skip to this now since it seems relevant right now. I just covered this the other day, and this is from The Defender, and we already covered this before it came out on The Defender, how the CDC manipulated data to create the pandemic of the unvaccinated narrative. It's very simple. According to the CDC, most of the mainstream media, we have a pandemic of the unvaccinated. To achieve that statistic, the CDC included hospitalization and mortality data from January through June. The vast majority of the U.S. population was unvaccinated during that time frame. So it's not hard to realize that that's how that's going to look. This is at a time when they had all the data right up until current. And they knew this and they hid all that data because you know what that shows you? Well, it shows you what we're going to get into next. After this segment, it shows you that the majority of people that are struggling are the people that are vaccinated, and they're hiding this from you in every possible way. Of course, they also hide natural immunity, which is the whole part of why this narrative doesn't make sense. They just don't factor that in. 11 times, they say. Unvaccinated now, 11 times more likely to die from COVID-19. Okay. Well, it's funny how this just came up out of nowhere, because before they were saying something totally different. Oh, that's right. Here we're, oh, studies 29 times more likely to be hospitalized. Okay. Jumping to today. Oh, now it's 11 times to die. Right. All this is based on same general information. They just keep kind of throwing out at you based on limited information from limited states, from estimations from the CDC, the very group that literally just got caught hiding 100,000 breakthrough cases. This is Bloomberg. 100,000. In fact, it was 111,000 that they got caught hiding. They hid this from you. And yet we're pretending we're going to take them at face value. If Bloomberg can point out how they intentionally hid this, now ask the question, how do they possibly know vax versus unvaxxed data if they're not even looking at the vaxxed part of it? Now, who cares, right? Fake news. Well, let's continue, because this is where we get into the actual data. Now, here's the funny part about this. I looked at every single one of these things. See the Hill, you know, all these fake mainstream media and their due diligence. And guess what? Not a single one of them cited the study. I wonder why that would be, or the three studies they're pointing to. Well, they're all going, well, CDC says, and without giving the source material. Does that sound like journalism to you? No, that sounds like parroting what the CDC told them to say, because that's what mainstream media does. Well, what about NBC? Oh, no, not a single one of them. Anybody anywhere in the mainstream talking about this did not give you the study. They just heard Walensky say it. Here's one of her screenshots while she was speaking, because that's where this all comes from. She said this on the White House briefing, or whatever the briefing was they were giving, and they repeated it, because that's what journalism is today in the mainstream. We repeat what experts and authorities say without due diligence, apparently. Well, same with this one, but this is the only one I could find. There's probably more of them, but just NJ.com. They're the only one, and good on them, that actually listed all three of the study links and gave you the ability to look at them. It's amazing, the complete just dumpster fire that is mainstream media today. It's so insulting how obvious it is that they try to keep things from your view. But this is why they do so, because let's take a look. So this is the first one, September 10. Effectiveness of COVID-19 mRNA vaccines against COVID-19 associated hospitalization. This is really weird, this study. And I can't even, you'll see what I mean. The way that they do this is taking people who are hospitalized and then telling you that they can gauge the percentage of COVID-associated hospitalization from the people who are already hospitalized. Five Veteran Affairs Medical Centers. Now, by the way, why does it make sense to pretend that this gives you a representation of the entire country or all unvaccinated people who are struggling, when you're taking people who they admit in their own study are predominantly, they're not a good category of people to represent the rest of the country? They say that like literally in the study. And yet they're then quietly, you know, then these guys go, everybody on 11 times more, everybody. Because that's what the mainstream media does. But you'll see what I mean. Let's go into it. Well, I want to start off by pointing out the summary, which is humorous to me, because these are supposed to be objective studies to find out whether or not unvaccinated are struggling more than the other, right? That's the point. That's what they're saying. This is the fine. These studies find out the facts. Okay. Well, their summary starts out by saying, what is already known? It's always a great study when they start off by asserting things as fact without proving them. mRNA COVID-19 vaccines are effective in preventing severe COVID outcomes, including hospitalization. So they're asserting the outcome of this study. Like, that's what they're arguing is the outcome, that you are more likely to suffer from as an unvaccinated person versus a vaccinated person. And they start the study off by saying, we already know that the injection increases your or lessens your severity of the very things we're telling you. You see what I mean? Like, you can't start off with the pre-assumed concept that is literally what you're trying to find out. That shows you bias. But who cares about that? Let's go to look at the next part. During February 1st, August 6th, 2021, vaccine effectiveness among U.S. veterans hospitalized at Five Veteran Affairs Medical Center was 87%. So we're talking vaccine effectiveness in this comment section or the section here, but they're telling you they were already hospitalized. Veterans who were hospitalized at these locations, they say, have a vaccine efficacy of 87%. But what is the vaccine efficacious in doing, they say? Lessening symptoms. So they're already hospitalized. So how in the world can you actually, because what is going to happen if they're hospitalized? They're either going to get worse, they're going to get better. A lot of the people that they kicked out of the study, you should ask why, but then seemingly everyone they kept in the study got better. So it's interesting how they can pick and choose. The CDC is absolutely they absolutely have an agenda that they want to push. That's been apparent by their actions, by their choosing to hide things from you like this, right? So as we look at this, realize that this is easy to make the way they want it to look. Goes on to say, mRNA COVID-19 vaccines remain highly effective, including during periods of widespread circulation of Delta variant. Now, we'll go on to make that wildly obviously incorrect. As of all the studies and all the research we keep talking about, they continue to show you things like the Delta variant posed to already be resistant to wild type spike vaccines, which is what these are, based on the original. They're already vaccine resistant, and that's what all these... I've shown you many studies that are showing you, including from Israel, that the Delta variant is literally almost a zero effectiveness against the current variants. And yet they're going, yeah, but it works against Delta because we say so. There's nothing in the study that actually proves that. This is about specifically these people in hospitalization in this small setting. But it says vaccine effectiveness in preventing COVID-19 related hospitalization was 80% among adults aged 65 years or older, equal or older, compared to 95% among adults aged 18 to 64, or excuse me, younger, I mean. But the point here is that how in the world can you argue that you can have an effectiveness of preventing hospitalization of people who are already hospitalized? I mean, I don't even understand how that makes sense. They're already in the hospital, and you're claiming by giving them these injections, you help prevent COVID-related hospitalization? That's what it says. Let's go forward. COVID-19 mRNA vaccines have been shown to be highly protective against COVID-19 associated hospitalizations. Okay, again, just reasserting what they claim is a fact while they're trying to search and study to find out if that's the fact. Isn't that great? Data are limited on the level of protection against hospitalization among disproportionately affected populations in the United States, particularly during periods in which the Delta variant is the one causing the problem. What? So here they are, the entire premise is we're arguing this is effective against lessening hospitalization. They say up here, and it works against the Delta variant. But that's because they're only doing this in the summary, and that's what they know most people read, including the mainstream media. But the very first thing says, the data are limited on that level of protection. So who knows how well it could work, barely, totally, we don't know. Data is limited on the level of protection against that point we're making. Against hospitalization among disproportionately affected populations in the United States, particularly during periods in which Delta variant is the part causing the problem. Yet it works against Delta variant, we're sure, but we don't even know how well if it works, and it's limited based on the fact that this is ridiculous. Overall, adjusted vaccine effectiveness against COVID-19 associated hospitalization was 86%. How do you know that based on people who were in the hospital already and was similar before and during Delta variant predominance? But all the data from every location that we've talked about, and plenty more, Iceland, Malta, Gibraltar, Israel, plenty of them, are showing you the exact opposite, including the United States, by the way. They're just hiding the data from you. Now we can add Australia. We can add Scotland. We're going to show you both of those. You can't argue that it's working the same now and before Delta. It doesn't make sense. Everything shows us the opposite, including all the peer-reviewed science they're pretending isn't there. It says during February 1st to August 6th, 2021, adults aged 18 years or older hospitalized at five of these, it's the Veteran Affairs Medical Centers. Okay, so that, again, just so we're clear, they're giving you the breakdown. These are adults that were already hospitalized. It says it right there. They were screened for inclusion in this test, negative case control assessment. Here's another interesting part. It says patients were eligible for inclusion in this study if they had COVID-19-like illness. COVID-19-like illness. Are you kidding? Pulmonary findings consistent with pneumonia by PCR test. That's it. That's all you needed. All you need is sniffles, maybe some pneumonia symptoms, and a PCR test, which has a wildly high false positive rate when you use 40 to 45 cycle threshold, which is what everybody in this country is using, despite Fauci telling you that makes it not work in the middle of 2020. Here we are. I wonder why they keep using it that way. It's easy to make it look like there's a problem, regardless of whether they know that or not. They're taking people that just have the symptoms that look like they're dealing with this. What do you think that makes happen? I mean, obviously just makes this ridiculously and invalid. But on top of that, you could make this look a way you wanted it to by using something like that. It's subjective at the very least. Now it says patients with COVID-19-like illness who received a positive test result were included as case patients. And those with COVID-19-like illness with negative PCR tests were included as controls. So now you've even got a situation where you have people that have an illness that they're saying we tested as PCR, which by the way, is just completely all over the map. And they were included as controls. So you're using a PCR test, which even the creator told you is not suited to do this kind of diagnosis. And yet you're using it to determine whether there's is a control or this is just so the water is muddied, probably intentionally. Now it says electric health records were reviewed to obtain data on demographic characteristics, underlying medical conditions, presenting illness, SARS-CoV-2 test results, COVID-19 vaccination history, clinical course during hospitalization. Oh, period. Oh, gee, I wonder why they left off natural immunity. Why, of course, they don't care about that, right? All this stuff we're checking and making sure, and we don't care about the one most important thing, whether or not you're giving them something that, in fact, hurts them, as all the peer-reviewed studies have shown, increasing their possible adverse events by 2.4%, in fact, potentially creating the risk of antibody-dependent enhancement, as plenty of these other studies have shown you, which we'll get to in a minute, which literally tell you that the vaccines based on the original and now going up against Delta are creating that risk. Like this is from the Journal of Infection. This is all the peer-reviewed science they keep censoring for us for pointing out. They just left it off because they don't care about it. Vaccine effectiveness, it says, to prevent COVID-19 associated hospitalization was estimated by using multivariable logistic regression to compare the odds of full vaccination between case patients and controls. Oh, does that sound totally yeah, and just make sure we see this. Models were adjusted for their sites and on and on. Great. So we're talking about using something that is completely manipulatable. Models and these estimated associations between different, the CDC is not to be trusted. And they've made that clear by lying to you and using false information from a part of the year they knew would slant the data, by hiding breakthrough cases when they knew what they wanted to tell you was only the unvaccinated. I mean, on and on and on. How about the WHO calling them out back in 2011 for creating pandemics of fear and pushing vaccination? That's literally what the WHO said, or the HHS, or the BMJ, calling out the CDC, or the spider group that was from within the CDC years back, stepping up and saying they're completely captured by public agencies, like, you know, people like Fauci. That's the point, and nobody cares about this stuff. This fake breakdown is something that's easily manipulatable, and it's not the kind of study we're seeing elsewhere. It goes on saying during February 1st to August 6th, 2021, a total of 1,494 hospitalized U.S. veterans met inclusion criteria. Again, I can't make this enough. If they're already hospitalized, how can you pretend this in any way is measurable to how well it reduces COVID-19 related hospitalization? This is so ridiculous. Overall, 54 case patients. There was 1,175 patients. Overall, 54 case patients and 378 controls were fully vaccinated. It doesn't seem to make sense to have it, the case patients vaccinated versus fully the controls vaccinated. Isn't the point whether or not the vaccination reduces their hospitalization? How can you have it on both sides? But it says the adjusted effectiveness of full vaccination in preventing COVID-19 associated hospitalization during the entire evaluation period was 86%. Preventing COVID-19 associated hospitalization of people who are currently hospitalized. Solid. Among U.S. veterans hospitalized at five of these locations, mRNA vaccines were at the same point. And again, it says remained highly effective during the period Delta variant predominance. And that's simply not true. 100%. Their own data that doesn't back that up. These findings support current evidence that COVID-19 vaccines are highly effective in preventing associated hospitalization. Well, that's one of them. That's one of the studies that they're currently, by the way, I don't even know why they think that plays a factor on claiming that you're 11 times more likely to die from COVID-19. But yet that's one of the ones they're pointing to. let's pretend like that makes sense. Let's go to the next one. Interim estimates. So we're already pretending, right? Interim. So it's not even complete. And their estimates starting off really well of COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness against COVID-19 associated emergency department or urgent care clinical encounters and hospitalizations among adults during COVID-19 Delta variant predominance with 9 states. if you're like, how about you do one that includes the whole country? How about you do one that doesn't specifically take, like, this is how you maneuver through the data and find something that adds up to exactly the way you want it to look. interim estimates of effectiveness of specific emergency room encounters of hospitalizations among only adults during only Delta with 9 states. That's ridiculous. Now, again, it's the same point, and this is how you continue to manipulate and lie with data. Here's what it says. CDC used the Vision Network to examine medical encounters. I'm already done. They are taking data that's already been collected across 9 states. Why'd they choose those 9 specifically? Who knows? I think I have an idea. But the point is, this is data that's been collected through a process that's completely, I mean, there's no coordination among these states. We've already made that clear. Each state is doing its own categorization, its own documentation. So they're sweeping up 9 states that they just subjectively chose, it would seem, and looking at the Vision Network and examining that data. You're not looking at real world situations. You're not looking at data from everywhere else. You're looking at data specifically from June to August from a network from only 9 states from locations that are collecting them in different ways. From a group that has shown to be wildly dishonest. The CDC. Eligible medical encounters were defined as those among adults aged 18 and older who had received COVID-19 molecular testing, primarily PCR, 14, it says, and a COVID-19-like illness discharge diagnosis. You see, again, all you need is symptoms and a PCR test. This is a recipe for an illusion, just like the epidemic that wasn't that the New York Times wrote about back when with the whooping cough epidemic. I believe that was 2007. I forget the exact date. And I've shown you that many times. And what's their conclusion? Their over-reliance on the PCR test. That's exactly what they said. The moral of the story, months, shut down hospitals. People were given vaccinations. People were let off. All this stuff happened. They shut everything down, quarantines. Not a single case, not one. It was all an illusion based on the PCR test. And that's what they said. You think they don't know about that? I think they knew and they used it today. It goes on to say VE and S was estimated using a vaccine efficacy was estimated using a test negative design, calculating the odds of receiving a positive test result, comparing fully vaccinated and unvaccinated patients. So they're retroactively taking data that's already been collected and then just doing their own estimates. This is not the kind of study that should be parroted like this as the definitive answer to a question we've all had. This is not the random controlled trial. This is not a peer review type of thing. This is something that is being done by a group on their own, where you don't get to see the full basis of the data, where they just tell you things like we always keep seeing. Oops, that's not the right one. Where instead of actually taking real world data right now that we're seeing, like why aren't they working in collaboration with Israel and saying, well, you're here saying 90% of your cases in hospitals are people who are vaccinated. Let's look at what they have to say and compare. Nope, we're going to cherry pick what we want and push the narrative we want and continue to lie to you. That's my opinion. Here's the last one that I think is the worst. Still not sure how we get to 11 times. It says monitoring incidence of COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths by vaccine status. This is the one, clearly. 13 jurisdictions. Whew, yeah, we're still wildly undershooting the full picture. But it says the incidence of, again, same thing, what is already known. So let's set the narrative before we actually start talking. The incidence of SARS-CoV-2 infection, hospitalizations, and death is higher in unvaccinated than vaccinated persons. So again, a study that is set out to find the answer to whether or not that's the case is already telling you what they know before the study starts. Well, what we already know is that this is the case. Now we're going to look into whether this is the case. That sound like a good way to start? But they're telling you flat out, it's higher than unvaccinated or worse off than vaccinated. And the incidence rate ratios are relative to vaccine. Yeah, exactly. It says across 13 U.S. jurisdictions. And why did they pick those 13? You know, again, it's just, you could easily go through and pick places that work with what you're trying to accomplish or states that want to find that have the same goal or specifically leaders in those states that have the same goals. Right? How much you want to bet these aren't Republican locations that are actively not. It's obvious how you can see this go. Across 13 jurisdictions, incidence rate ratios for hospitalization and death changed relatively little after the Delta variant reached predominance. How is that even possible? If they're arguing that it's increasing in the unvaccinated and it's skyrocketing and the hospital's overwhelmed, how can they argue that the ratio for hospitalization and death changed little? That doesn't make any sense. Especially as we continue to see the addition of the vaccinated breakthrough cases, which are skyrocketing. But it goes on to say continued vaccine effectiveness against severe COVID-19, case IRRs decreased, suggesting reduced vaccine effectiveness for prevention of SARS-CoV-2 infections. That's just important at the end. They're just adding on top of the other part of it, of course, which the mainstream leaves out of their discussion. Gee, I wonder why. They just add reduced vaccine effectiveness preventing SARS-CoV-2 infections. Right, that's another finding that they had. So not only are they trying to argue that you have a higher risk of dying because you're unvaccinated, they're also including that there's an it's their data. Of course, this is where they say suggests, where the other side of it, it's proven, right? Suggests based on the same data, reduced vaccine effectiveness for you if you've gotten the injection for preventing the infection, not even transmission. Now we're getting into the lessening of symptoms, and that is lowered. Here, I mean, it's crazy how they can state that, but let's go forward. COVID-19 vaccine breakthrough infection surveillance helps monitor trends in disease incidence and severe outcomes in fully vaccinated persons, including the impact of the highly transmissible Delta variant. Okay, so here's where they start off. So we're supposed to pretend that the CDC is monitoring all the breakthrough cases. Therefore, they can compare them, even in these 13 jurisdictions, right? We know that's not true. We know because they've already told us this. So right now what they're doing is comparing a very limited slice of what they tell you is the breakthrough case to a full picture. They're gathering everything they can after 28, you know, everything they can sweep up using subjective things that are erring on the side of caution. This, all the things we keep showing you and comparing it to this and to the numbers and saying, see, it's all on the unvaccinated. The same thing they did before. This is the same old trick. Let me show you. This is current. This is as of right now. This is their reporting on breakthrough cases. Let's take a look at what it says. For the purpose of the surveillance, what they were just referencing in the CDC study, a vaccine breakthrough infection is defined as the detection of SARS-CoV-2 RNA or antigen in a respiratory specimen collected from a person after 14 days after they've gotten their doses, according to the FDA. Now, RNA, remember, is PCR test. So just right on top of that, we're using something that's, as always, want to point that out, a grain of salt. But antigen as well. But by the way, it's interesting that PCR test is still being used as it is, despite their guidance to go away from that. Seems like that's a choice. But the main point is right here. When they talk about identifying and investigating only hospitalized or fatal breakthrough cases, which is the point. They are not keeping track of anything other than hospitalized or deaths in breakthrough. And even then, they got caught for hiding all the cases they were tracking, right? This is the reality. So it says right here, CDC monitors reported, not just any hospital. It only states they're telling. So half the states aren't doing it. We already showed you that. Half the states are doing it their own way, sort of doing it, not really caring, or reporting everything that may be more than that. That's a choice to make it subjective. So breakthrough cases are impossible to define. CDC monitors reported hospitalized or fatal vaccine breakthrough cases for clustering by patient demographics, geographic location, time since vaccination, vaccine type, and SARS-CoV-2 lineage. Reported data include hospitalized or fatal breakthrough cases due to any cause, including cases not related to COVID-19. I don't even get how that makes sense. Maybe I'm missing something. I read that before. Reported data on COVID breakthrough cases includes cases not related to COVID-19. How in the world does that make sense? Regardless, the point is simply they only include hospitalized or fatal breakthrough cases. That is it. Okay, going back to what they're saying here. Now, they are counting literally everything under the sun that even remotely looks like a COVID-19 case in people who are unvaccinated. Everything. So just that point alone is enough to realize this is an obvious deception. Here's Robert Malone chiming in. This is the New York Times saying the same thing. Unvaccinated Americans are 11 times more likely to die because they just repeat what the CDC says. As he points out, this doctor, this expert, in fact, one of the people involved in creating the technology used to make the mRNA injections, he says, I'm not clear how the CDC can make claims like this since they decided not to track vaccine breakthrough cases that are determined not to be serious. He's right. I just showed you that. Looks like a lot of propaganda to me. Looking forward to learning from your thoughts. Pretty obvious, isn't it? They are choosing to lie to you. Let's continue forward on this. Reported COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths occurring among persons aged 18 years or older during April 4th to July 17th were analyzed by vaccination status across 13 jurisdictions. Remember, so they're saying reported. So remember, when you're not injected, it's just simply a PCR test in 28 days. Or any variation thereof. Like there's a lot of subjective reporting and just have a safe, right? You're sweeping up all sorts of cases that are not actually COVID-19. How about the fact that they're combining flu and pneumonia, which we've already shown you? That's on their own website. It's called PIC, pneumonia, influenza, and COVID-19. That is the combination that they give you as the total number of COVID-19 cases. It's right on their website. So you're adding all this stuff to the COVID-19 side of the argument. Then you're only telling you from 13 jurisdictions alone, breakthrough cases, only fatal and only death. And then sometimes even then the states aren't reporting it. Does that sound like an even comparison? They know this and they don't care. It says our averaged weekly age standardized incident ratios, that's what IRR, for case ratios persons were not fully vaccinated. Again, the point is that there on this point was just simply the age standardization. That's the last thing we should be doing in regard to COVID-19. If I understand it correctly, the idea of this is that it's an average, right? Average weekly. The breakdown of COVID-19 is so completely different based on age categories that you can't just lump it all together and make it an average number. And that's what I think they've been trying to do from the beginning, because it makes it look like there's a danger for people that have no danger. But it says getting vaccinated protects against severe illness from COVID-19, including Delta variant. Just showing you that they keep repeating that simple lie. Okay, so these are the three studies that they're screaming about right now, claiming again, doubling down on their lie again, that this is the case, that you're all dying and it's all hospitalizations, only the unvaccinated, and it's simply not true. Now here, by the way, is just another study going forward that I saw that somebody sent to me from the New England Journal of Medicine. And there's a couple, you read these all for yourself in full, because there's plenty of stuff in here that people would argue, challenge some of the things I'm saying in other places. But there's always that. You'll always find these studies that there's other things like, well, masks work and you should use masks, whatever. My point is just picking out the data here that I think is important, because the data is not subjective. When they tend to add their opinions, you know, like at the beginning saying vaccines work and we know it, therefore, it's about the information. So this says vaccinations with mRNA vaccines began in mid-December 2020. By March, 76% of the workforce had been fully vaccinated, specifically in the University of California, San Diego Health. All right. So all I'm pointing this out for is it says by July, they had 87%. By July, 87% of the University of California, San Diego health team the people there were vaccinated, right? Okay. So from March 1st to July 31st, a total of 227 workers at that location tested positive for COVID-19 or for SARS-CoV-2. 130 of those workers, 57.3%, were fully vaccinated. Symptoms were present in 109 of the 130 fully vaccinated workers. 83% of them, 83% were symptomatic. Now, of course, they're going to argue, well, lucky they had it because it was lessened. Well, if it's your life, you choose to take the CDC at face value if you wish, based on a subjective claim that can simply never be proven. But the point on top of that was that no deaths were reported in either group, which I find interesting, because the reality here is that one, this Delta is not more severe, as everything shows you. Every piece of the information we have in front of us shows you that this is not more serious. But what's interesting is what you are seeing is an increase of reactions, both hospitalizations and deaths and everything else on the vaccinated side. But here's what's interesting, and we'll get into this more in a minute. I'll show you one of these graphs they have right here. This is the graph right here. Now look at this graph. Alpha, first variant, is the orangish color. I guess the light orange and the red, darker orange color is the Delta, and then blue is other, okay? Every single category, vaccinated up top, unvaccinated down below. Every single category right now is higher in the vaccinated side. I mean, and we're going to say, oh, well, that's because there's more vaccinated people than, well, this is why they keep playing the game of pointing to the time when there was more unvaccinated and using those numbers. They're playing the same game. The point is we're not playing a game, because I'll also show you that there's far more people hospitalized on top of that. So they keep trying to dance back and forth around the data. But here is just to show you that it's far, far, far more people who are struggling in the vaccinated workers. In this is specifically that one location, but it's just a microcosm like everything else we're showing you. And then we go to the next point, which is what we keep also telling you. We already showed you this study. This is from science.org, one of the most highly regarded scientific publications, a grim warning from Israel. Vaccination blunts, but does not defeat Delta. Now, the point that's showing you this next is the point that they cited before. And this is coming from one of their expert doctors involved. Nearly 60% of gravely ill patients were fully vaccinated. Nearly 60%. Okay, so how do you then make this connect, or how do you compare this? Oops, dang it. With the fact that they're saying that this is stopping protecting against severe illness, hospitalization, Delta variant. They repeat it in every single study. It still protects against hospitalization, or, you know, but that's not what the data is showing you. Simply not. This is the other one I've shown you from before. The hospital director telling in multiple places over 90% of their patients were vaccinated. Okay. And this is just a couple that I grabbed just to reiterate it, because I've done whole shows on this already. The reality is, if you can look at a study from one of the publications they tell you to listen to that is challenging exactly what the White House and the media are parroting, who's trusting the science? You know, we're not over here trusting the science, because that's a dumb thing to do. We are open-mindedly looking and having discernment, showing our due diligence, looking at the scientific research and coming to our own conclusions about it. But the scientific research shows you that they're lying or wrong. The people screaming trust the science aren't even looking at it anymore. All they're doing is trusting people like the CDC. That's not the science. That is the CDC. They are a health advocacy agenda institution. Like, you know what I should grab? Just really quickly to read that one line again, since I did mention it, is this document from the WHO. This is what I'm trying to say. It was from 2011, I believe. Yeah, 2011. Right? And this is the WHO writing, calling out the CDC, the group that you're trusting right now, if you believe that's enough, that they wouldn't lie to you. Of course not, because, well, here's the point. The repeated pandemic health scares caused by H5N1 and H1N1 human influenza virus are part of a culture of fear. Worst case thinking replaced balanced risk assessment, right? This is the reality. Rather than waiting for information, where was the point? That wasn't the one. The precautionary stocking of largely useless antivirals and irrational vaccine policies against the unusually benign H1N1 wasted millions of dollars and on and on and on. Okay, it says right here, in both pandemics of fear, the exaggerated claims of a severe public health threat stemmed primarily from disease advocacy by influenza experts. He's talking about people like Fauci, people like the CDC. The pharmaceutical industry and the media only reacted to this welcome boon, which was the highly competitive market, basically making this a big focus. There's no reason for expecting any upcoming pandemic. No, that wasn't the one. Anyway, that's the point. You guys see, there's a couple points in here I'm just trying to grab really quickly. One last point was right here, I think, was that the disease experts wish to capture public attention and sway resource allocation decisions in favor of the disease of their interest. Why can't we wrap our minds around this? This is what's happening right now. They're lying to you, and they've been caught lying more than once already. This is not the science. This is a disease advocacy agenda institution that has an agenda and has been called out for it many times. And that's why this is revealing the truth that they're trying to hide from you. Now, the more to the point, which we just said the other day, which I'm going to read a couple more points on this article, in Israel now, you're already being forced to get a third shot. How can we pretend that this thing is safe and effective and benefits outweigh the risk? And it's, you know, efficacious 95% when you're already being forced to get a third shot when you barely started giving the second ones out to everybody. As it says, Israel's upping the vaccine ante, pressing citizens to get COVID-19 booster shots, and saying that those who don't will face restrictions on traveling, dining out, and other activities. Guess what, guys? It's coming to the United States very soon. Holders of Israel's vaccine passports must get a third dose within 6 months of their second dose, or lose their so-called green pass that allows them more freedom, right? That's what happens in a free country. They can just take it on a whim based on what they want you to have, right? Quote, we are updating what it means to be vaccinated. So it's subjective. It's on a whim. They can decide based on what they have, what they think. And that's, of course, assuming they're doing it for good reasons, right? I can't believe anybody who pretends they're against government power, or, you know, people that are calling out the, you know, foreign policy and bad guys over there and completely gaslighting everybody about why we should be supporting this injection. It's so sickening to me to watch this happen. These are governments deciding. I mean, even if you believe what right now that we're all in danger, this is not going to go away. This is a infrastructure for authoritarianism. The study released by the Israeli Health Ministry on Sunday found that within 12 days, recipients of the shot were around 10% as likely to become severely ill as people who had received their shot dose after 5 months earlier, about 9% as likely to have been infected. So first of all, realize two things. One, that you're still at risk. Like, they're making this very clear. Even with the third shot, transmission's not stopped. I mean, they're still talking about even 10%. You know, you still might just get super sick. But they're claiming, based on their own data, which I don't know, I can't see it, I can't confirm, so I don't believe it until I can confirm it myself, that it somehow lessens you by 10% or down to around 10%, but still there. And that's only that's 5 months earlier. There's only a 5 month window. Now, whether this continues after 3 months after this or what, it's a never ending cycle. They just told you that. But this doesn't stop transmission. You can still spread it. You can still catch it. The viral load, which we already showed you, multiple studies have verified, is almost high. It's higher in most cases than unvaccinated people. It says Israeli health officials say they don't know whether additional boosters beyond the third dose will be needed, except that's not true because they have said that. They've openly stated this is going to be your future. I don't think the U.S. government and the media apparatus they force on you is willing to say that just yet. But it says other countries with widespread vaccination programs are expected to authorize booster shots in the coming months. U.S. regulators are likely to approve in mid-September a COVID booster shot for Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson for vaccinated adults 6 months after their previous dose. 6 months. Oh, and rather than 8 months previously announced. You know why? Because Naftali Bennett spoke to Biden, and so now they're moving it back down. So your vaccine passport that you got in the United States is now only good for 6 months, and you have to get the next dose and the next one after that, which they already told you is happening. And right now, all this push to get this injection in everyone's arms, there's more already being stated. Like, if you get the two shots right now because Biden forced you, there's a booster coming right behind it. And you won't be fully vaccinated until you get the booster. I can't believe anybody's playing part in this game. Now it says, after meeting with Naftali Bennett in Israel, the prime minister, the White House on Friday, Biden said he would also consider lowering the timeline for Americans to 5 months instead. Now it's a 5 month window. I mean, this, by the way, is despite the fact that we've already shown you that multiple governments have already stated and then removed quietly because we found out that after 3 months from the last dose, you're no longer considered fully vaccinated. This is from the St. Louis County government. They're telling you, St. Louis County. They're telling you right there. 13 days, you're still unvaccinated after you get the second dose. 3 months after the last dose, you're no longer fully vaccinated. So it's already going to happen, guys. You're already there. Pfizer and the two other companies say booster shots are shown to increase protection against the risk of infection and illness from the coronavirus. Great. I'm sure glad we're listening to Pfizer still. Do you realize the media is just parroting what Pfizer says about the safety? Do you know how gross that is? Israel's Green Pass takes the form of a code on a smartphone app or a printed certificate. Exactly. The Green Pass, which will be used for climate change and everything else going forward. But here's to one of the biggest parts. This is one of the most important parts of the day. This is again from the expose. This is undeniable. And as far as I can tell, this is a sole investigation by the expose, and they did a great job on this. COVID-19 deaths are rapidly rising, but less than 25% of them are unvaccinated people. It's time to admit the jab doesn't work, stop injecting kids, and get back to normal. Now, this is based on data directly from the government, and we'll show it to you. Okay, it says the unvaccinated account for just 25% of the deaths in the last 4 weeks. This is Public Health Scotland we're talking about, have been releasing a weekly COVID-19 statistical report with an array of data on testing, cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. A report released by PHS, the Public Health Scotland, back in June 2021, even revealed the total number of deaths to have occurred within 28 days of having a COVID-19 injection since the vaccination program began. And that's how they manipulate it, because they give you a number that's increasing day by day. It's not broken down month to month. It's just a continually increasing number. I know there's a word for that. I can't think of it. Up to the 11th of June 2021, PHS states that 5,522 died within 28 days of having either the Pfizer, Moderna, or AstraZeneca COVID-19 injection. Now, that's not like saying unverified Bayer's information, just so you're clear. Here's the Public Health Scotland. Here's where it says it, right there. Between 8 December 2020 and 11 June 2021, a total of 5,522 people died within 28 days of receiving a COVID vaccine in Scotland. Now, sure, you could argue people could have died for something else, but seeing as how they're using anybody that dies from after 28 days of a PCR test as a verifiable COVID death, then we should be able to count these in the same way. It's the same exact logic. But they don't care, because it's not about logic. It's about controlling a narrative. But just so you can see, that's directly listed right there. Now, going forward, if you state this on Twitter without the fake news, totally fake news, despite the fact that it's literally stated by Public Health Scotland. But it goes on to say, strangely, Public Health Scotland have not released any updates on this figure since June 2021. Gee, I wonder why. Most likely due to the unfavorable number that have occurred. Because since June, this thing has skyrocketed. But at least they have bothered to release some information on the number of deaths to have occurred within 28 days of having an injection, unlike Public Health England, who claimed that they just don't have records of the data. Think about that for a second. In the middle of this pandemic where they're tracking literally everything about every piece of data, they're saying, oh, we don't have it. Oops, I guess we destroyed that on accident. We must have thrown that in the garbage can. Right, the one thing that shows you whether or not people are really dying after the oops, we lost, we don't know, we don't have it. I don't know why people cannot see how dishonest this is. It's on its face. They are deceiving people. Public Health Scotland presents the number of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths by vaccination status. However, it should be noted that they regard someone who has received two doses of a COVID-19 injection less than 14 days prior to their confirmed case, hospitalization, or death as only having had a single dose. They regard someone who has received a single dose less than 14 days prior to their confirmed case, hospitalization, or death as unvaccinated. And that is just simply ridiculous. You have people that already have this stuff circulating in their bloodstream and they die and they call that unvaccinated. That's crazy. It says table 15 of the latest report shows us the number. And by the way, that's with that happening, right? By with that possibility happening where people are dying, even though they're being called unvaccinated, the numbers are still way slanted on the side of the vaccinated. And you'll see next table 15 on the latest report shows us the number of confirmed positive COVID-19 cases by week and vaccination status from the 31st July through the 27th of August, 2021. The most recent week beginning 21st of August shows that 15,442 cases occurred among the unvaccinated population, while 14,346 occurred among the fully vaccinated population. This represents a twofold increase in the number of cases, which again, just based on a PCR test, which is a huge grain of salt, from the previous week in both the vaccinated and unvaccinated populations. Now, this was table 15, I believe we had that one. No, okay, it's right there for you. If you choose the link for it, by the way, as always with the expose, the link to these tables are right here in the information. The link's right up here for the actual report. Just so you know, so if you want to look at it, it's right there too. Okay, going forward, table 15, it says, however, and this is the table you can see right there. However, taking data from the previous 4 weeks, we can find that a total of 30,091 cases have been confirmed among the unvaccinated population, while 27,450 cases have occurred among the fully vaccinated population. It says, therefore, you would expect hospitalizations to also be highest among the unvaccinated, right? Because cases are subjective. Cases can be manipulated. Cases can be lied about. It can be unjustly bolstered. I can't stand when I can't think of the right word. You could bloat the number by increasing the PCR test cycle threshold and so on and so on. Somebody at some level could make that happen. But it says, therefore, you expect hospitalizations to also be the highest among the unvaccinated people, especially considering the fact that they haven't had a COVID-19 injection that would allegedly reduce their risk of hospitalization, right? So you should see with those two numbers, the hugely predominant number of hospitalizations being on the unvaccinated, because you can see that there's more cases on their side, right? Table 16 of the latest report shows the number of hospitalizations by week and vaccination status from the same time period. The most recent week, beginning on August 21st, shows that 153 hospitalizations occurred among the unvaccinated population, while guess what? 261 hospitalizations have occurred among the fully vaccinated. So even right there, with far more cases, 3,000 plus more or 2,000 plus more cases on the side of the unvaccinated, so we're told, again, that's subjective, you have hospitalizations far more on the side of the vaccinated. How do you explain that without the reality we're putting in front of you? But it gets much better. It goes on to say, taking the totals for the 4 weeks from the, taking the totals from the last 4 weeks from July 31st, the number of hospitalizations in the unvaccinated population stands at 509, while the number of hospitalizations among the fully vaccinated population stands at 657. There's the graph for you right there. Fully vaccinated are at a much higher risk of being hospitalized if infected with COVID-19. That's the important part, right? Or, you could look at it this way if you'd like, right? There's a lot of ways you could look at this and argue that maybe they're just getting sick from taking the injection. That seems more simple. But however you look at it, the point is that you're seeing a very higher, much higher hospitalization rate from people who are injected. And they're in, and the expose is right. You're a much higher risk of being hospitalized if you then get infected or come down with something after this. Now it says just 1.69% of cases among the unvaccinated population in the last 4 weeks have resulted in hospitalization, while 2.4% of cases among fully vaccinated populations have resulted in hospitalization. There's no denying this. It's right there on their data. And yes, we're only looking at Scotland, but this is the reality. This is how you do this. This is how they're doing their studies. Here, we chose 13 states and 13 little jurisdictions, and we added it up. Right, that's the same thing we're doing here. Now, it goes on to say this shows that the fully vaccinated are 1.42 times 42% more likely to be hospitalized with COVID-19 than the unvaccinated population. 42% more likely to go to the hospital if you get sick while you've been injected. Now, remember the lingering overarching discussion of natural immunity, which is why I think this is happening. Because remember, what we keep hinting at, and we've already talked about many times, is that that is what's creating, whether you want to call it antibody-dependent enhancement or whatever. You're being injected after having natural immunity is creating the problem in a lot of different ways. And I think that's backed up by everything we're seeing. And by on top of that, what you're showing that the injection alone, whether you have natural immunity or not, is increasing your risk. Now it says, I'll read the sentence again. This shows that fully vaccinated are 1.42 times 42% more likely to be hospitalized with COVID than an unvaccinated population when the COVID-19 injection is supposed to make them 95% less likely to be hospitalized. That's what they keep saying. So how do you justify that? How do you make sense of that? You don't. They're not even trying to. That's why they're ignoring the Israeli data. That's why Fauci says, I don't have an answer to that obvious question. It says, quote, maybe they were hospitalized with something else and just tested positive, people ask. Surely the majority of deaths have occurred among the unvaccinated population, considering the majority of cases are among the unvaccinated. Like, that's the narrative, right? This is them posing the question. It says, well, this is where Public Health Scotland are doing their utmost to make it seem like the majority of deaths are among the unvaccinated. It says, rather than showing the total number of deaths by week, like every other stat that's on there, week by week, they have with everything else, that Public Health Scotland have decided to present deaths by vaccination status using the start date of December 29 going forward. They claim that's because they use the date because that's where the vaccination program began, because that's where protection development began at the first dose, right? This is their argument. But it says, but by doing so, they have been able to easily ensure alleged COVID-19 deaths are the highest among the unvaccinated because by the peak of the alleged second wave of COVID-19 deaths on the 27th of January, 2021, Scotland had only given a single dose, one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine to 9% of the population. It's just like what the CDC did when they lied using the first half of the year because they knew that would make it look like it was all in the unvaccinated. They're lying to you with data. Now, this was while just 0.1% were fully vaccinated, 0.1%. Therefore, a huge swath of the alleged COVID-19 deaths, of course, occurred in people who aren't vaccinated because only 0.1% were fully vaccinated, because a negligible amount of people, as they say, were vaccinated at the time. Now, it says, but by comparing by weekly reports released by Public Health Scotland, which we'll show you right now, Exposé was able to work out the true number of COVID-19 deaths by vaccination status, and it shows the vast majority are occurring among the fully vaccinated. Now, I'll read you what they say, and I'll show you the graphs to back up what they're saying. Table 17, which is right there, of the most recent report reveals from the 29th of December, 2020, all the way through the 19th of August, because it's a running tally. That's what it was, a running tally. There have been 3,096 deaths among unvaccinated people. That's what they tell you. And again, even that, by the way, should be completely up in the air based on a lot of other factors. But let's, for the sake of conversation, take that at face value right now. 277 deaths, they say, among the partially vaccinated. 294 deaths among the fully vaccinated population. But don't forget, as they point out, the majority of deaths in the unvaccinated population occurred between December 29th, 2020, and January 27th, 2021, a super short period of time, when just 0.1% of Scotland were fully vaccinated. How can you pretend that that short period of time represents, that's an obvious choice to misrepresent the reality. Now, it says, and this is by the graph right there, and I might as well just show you since we have it up right here. This is the graph, and then this is the, or so this is the first one you can see right there. And then we go to the next one, which is right here. Okay. Now the point is the numbers and adding them together, right? And that's what they do right here, as you can see. Now going forward, it says, did I read this one? Yes. So if we, they said here, then what they did was fantastic. They went back 4 weeks to get the other report, right? And they can see from the other report that 3,052 occurred among unvaccinated population, you know, whereas up here it was 3,096. 270 deaths occurred in the partially vaccinated population, 140 occurred in the fully vaccinated population up to July 22nd. Okay. So it says this means that based on the most recent data, that just 44 deaths occurred among the unvaccinated population in the last 4 weeks. Look, you can see for yourself, 3,096, 3,052. Pretty simple. Then it says, well, 7 deaths occurred in the partially vaccinated population and 124 deaths occurred in the fully vaccinated population. 124. Look at that. Look at the update. 264 from 140. It says, meaning the unvaccinated have accounted for just 25% of COVID-19 deaths in the new summer third wave, what they're calling it, despite accounting for the majority of alleged COVID-19 cases, right? Remember, they said they had way more. More deaths, more hospitalizations. It is undeniable. This is their data. It is directly from their website. You cannot hide this stuff. Okay? You cannot hide the reality. Going forward, it says, what this also shows is that the risk of death if infected or hospitalized with COVID-19 is much higher among the fully vaccinated population, with the risk of death for the fully vaccinated is supposed to be reduced by 95% compared to the unvaccinated, right? How can it be reduced by 95% if the majority are people dying in hospitals or being hospitalized and dying are people who are injected? I keep repeating, it's just an obvious, stupid reality. They are lying to you. They're hiding the facts by screaming 95%, just like they did when they said the majority of people in hospitals are unvaccinated, 95.5%. And we proved to you they lied. They got caught lying. Now we just wait a month and lie again based on some new study they threw together, despite all the other peer-reviewed research countering that claim. According to Public Health Scotland's own data, the risk of death if infected with COVID-19 is 3.3 times. 230% higher if fully vaccinated compared to being unvaccinated. That's not my claim. That's not my opinion. That's not the expose's claim. That is directly from the data from Public Health Scotland. So if you want to call someone a conspiracy theorist and say they're spreading dangerous medical misinformation, point to Public Health Scotland, because that's the data that we're pointing to. The data also shows that 6.5% of hospitalizations among the unvaccinated population have resulted in death. 6.5% of the hospitalizations of the unvaccinated have resulted in death, while 14% of hospitalizations among the fully vaccinated have resulted in death. Therefore, the risk of death if hospitalized with COVID-19 is 2.15 times, 115 times higher if fully vaccinated compared to being unvaccinated. Now, this is going to be dismissed by all the people that don't want to hear it, despite the fact that it's directly cited by the Public Health of Scotland. But all we can do is continue to share the information. Now, to add to that, to bolster this point, a mainstream article from France. This is a pretty well-known French publication. Australia. Since the start of vaccination, guess what? Nearly 3 times more deaths reported after vaccine than attributed to COVID-19. How many times do we need to see this reported based on multiple different studies, based on multiple different locations, multiple different media apparatuses? I mean, this is insulting to our intelligence to pretend that because the CDC simply states things based on obviously subjective and limited studies that they say it. So therefore the Hill says, this is it. That's the one. It's done. Now, in fact, I was going to talk about masks today. I put it off again because I wanted to get this stuff out there. But the same thing's happening with masks. This Bangladesh study that proves ends the conversation, they say. No, it doesn't. It's pathetic. And I'll show it to you in the next show. It's really bad and it's really limited. And all the things we've shown you, peer-reviewed science, random controlled trials are way. I mean, that study's not even in the league of this stuff. But of course, because it says what they like, it settles the conversation. It's just so silly. Here's a French publication. Okay. It's saying nearly 3 times, which by the way is interesting, which seems to completely align with the data that we're getting from the expose, right? And by the way, it is because of the expose, their due diligence, but they're getting the data directly from Public Health Scotland. Right? 3.3 times higher. Look at that. Okay. Nearly 3 times more deaths reported after vaccine than attributed to COVID-19. Australia, a country little affected by COVID deaths, provides clarification on reported deaths following COVID vaccination. The figures speak for themselves. and real questions arise. Well, they would if you lived in a real and non-clown world where people actually tried to report in the fake mainstream media. Well, no, you get people that they see the questions and they get shut up and stepped down. Like this outlet would probably be attacked for pointing this out, despite the fact that it's based on actual data. Australia has 25.858 million inhabitants and attributes 1,076 deaths to COVID-19, or 41.62 deaths per million population, a very low mortality compared to 169,301 deaths in 2019, reported in Australia National Statistics. So nothing's happening right now is the point. We keep telling you that. Australia has 8.27 million people fully vaccinated, or 32% of the population, 53% with one dose. The Australian Side Effects Database, another link for you to save, reports 487 deaths reported after COVID deaths, or reported vaccines, which is reported, same thing as Bayer's, the reported after COVID vaccines, as of February 22nd, 2021. You know, seems way back, by the way. Take note of that. Australia had 909 deaths attributed to COVID-19, 1,076 deaths as of September 9th, 2021, to COVID-19, not after the injection, right? That is 167 deaths attributed to COVID-19 since the start of vaccination. You follow? So since vaccination started, there's been 167 deaths attributed to COVID-19. There's been 487 deaths reported after the vaccinations. Now it says, based on this information, based on the above, therefore, there are 2.91 times more deaths reported after COVID vaccines than deaths attributed to the disease. Now, make note of the fact that they're saying reported. This, they're going to try it as fake news, dangerous. They didn't say anything that's not true. And all they're going to try to do is act like we don't know for sure. But remember, when they say that, that means we're not paying attention to those. We don't know for sure means they're fake. In the mainstream discussion, like that's what they're meaning. Theirs is unverified. Anybody can report there. So does that mean that you're just ignoring all these people? Yes, that's what it actually means. And that's what they're actively doing. As we've proven to you 100 times over, people are not even being called back for reporting a family member died. It's crazy. But the point here is that they have reported deaths of almost 500. And so the point is they're making, based on the data, 2.91 times more deaths reported after vaccinations than deaths attributed to the disease. In addition, the side effect site lists 547 deaths from all vaccines, every vaccine since 1971. Same thing we're seeing in the United States. Do you think that's an accident? Do you think that's not, I mean, correlation is not causation, but obviously that is an important correlation. Reported deaths from COVID vaccines in Australia account for 487 out of 547 total deaths reported since 1971. 89% of all deaths reported from vaccination deaths since 1971 are all reported after COVID-19. And yet we're pretending like this is totally normal. They're all fake news anti-vaxxers, right? That's all they want to do. And this is crazy. Absolutely crazy. And they're hiding this from you in every possible way. You know, this is the kind of thing they tell us, you're fake news for talking about this. Everything we've said today from their own sources have backed up exactly what we're talking about. How do you explain this other than pretending those the numbers that have reported deaths are completely fake without doing due diligence to verify that? It just shows you that there's a narrative here. There's a choice to ignore facts if it doesn't go along with the narrative around COVID-19, just like what was happening with 9/11 coming up tomorrow and everything else. Now it says over 6 months, there are therefore 8 times more deaths reported following COVID vaccines than in 50 years. For all other vaccines, with a total of 60 deaths. That's it. 60 total from 1971 and 487 cents from COVID-19 alone. I mean, this is a mainstream publication in France, right? Public Health Scotland telling you the same thing. And yet, here's the CDC going, no, it's good. You're good. It's safe and it works all the time and everything's great. You're good. Well, I'm going to trust the data. While questioning it, nonetheless, right? Now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. points out that Fauci's vaccine-centric policies have given America more COVID deaths plus cases than any other nation. Here's a point that you should remember. With 4.2% of global population, America has suffered 14.5% of all COVID deaths. Realize that's after vaccination. Instead of, not only, but I mean, but that's including after injections. instead of firing Fauci, Biden has doubling down on his failed policies. And he's reporting that, guess what? As we told you before, unprecedented vaccine mandates for millions. Exactly what they told you would never happen. Fake news. It'll never happen. And here we are with Biden telling you all federal workers have to get COVID shots now. And you can't even get a test. So this means natural immunity doesn't matter. We could care less about natural immunity, despite the fact that that Fauci was just put to the question and he literally ignored it. Meaning, I shouldn't say despite the fact that showing you that that is them ignoring it, right? They don't care. To make this clear, just weeks after he mandated that federal workers get shots or face rigorous testing and masking protocols, Biden will sign it. He did already, by the way. After this, he signed a new executive order to require vaccination for employees of the executive branch and contractors who do business with the federal government, with no option to test out. Nothing. According to the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, here's what it goes forward to say. Biden's order includes exceptions for workers or contractors seeking religious or medical exemptions for vaccination, except it doesn't really, and I'll show you why. Federal workers can and contractors will have 75 days to get fully vaccinated. Those who don't comply will be referred to their agency's Human Resources Department for counseling and discipline, to include potential termination. Counseling and discipline? This is the point. You don't have a choice. And obviously now you don't have a choice. It's mandatory. You don't have a choice. He's forcing this down your throat, despite the fact that you may have natural immunity, despite the fact that you may not want it, despite the fact that you don't need it. Quote, we would like to be a model to other organizations and businesses around the country, Psaki said. Right, because you're forcing them. This is you showing them again, do what you're supposed to. Mandate this. Make it happen, because there's no is not an option, and it never has been. It simply never has been. Now, if we're talking in general, 40, 50, like let's say the average person's 40 years old, right? You're 40 years old working for the government, whether you're a contractor, whatever else, okay? So let's say you're 40, male. Let's see what your risk is. I use the kind of general weight and height just because it's easy, general, with no comorbidities. I've shown this many times, but it's important to make sure people see this, right? So they're screaming, you're all going to die, okay? Here is your risk. If you are 40 years old working for the government right now, you have a 0.0017% risk. That is unbelievably dramatically less than anything resembling the flu risk. Even the flu, okay? Even just being admitted to the hospital, you have a risk lower than the flu. You're not in risk. You are simply not at risk. Period. Yet, they are forcing this on you, regardless of that lack of risk. And the fact that you are increasing your risk of myocarditis, which is dramatic. The possibilities after the fact, right? Look, I mean, we showed you this before, potentially 56% increase in mortality. And along with everything else we're seeing, all the possibilities of vaccine-induced thrombosis, thrombocytopenia, blood clots, risk, Bell's palsy, all the things we keep seeing, all the rare things piled into a gigantic pile of all rare, uncommon things. That's the point. They're putting this on you despite the fact that you have a 0.0017 risk. You are not at risk. You are more at risk of getting the flu from dying. You are more at risk from dying from random things. I forget what some of the random things were. I think it was something about a falling off the toilet was something that Spiro showed. You know, the ridiculous concepts of being killed by a toilet. You have more of a risk there. How are they making sense of this? This is from Oxford. Oxford calculator from the risk of COVID-19 is telling you that you're not at risk, and they're still forcing this on you anyway. It says Biden is also expected to outline plans to increase virus testing in schools. Great. So you're going to use these ethylene oxide coated tests for on children repeatedly forever, even though there's zero risk of getting hospitalized or dying. And we've already shown that the risk of asymptomatic spread is zero. Non-existent. Of 10 million people, the largest study done on asymptomatic spread, they found 300 people that were asymptomatic. Zero of them were transmissible. Zero. Because as even Fauci admitted in the beginning, respiratory viruses only spread with symptoms. You are not at risk in any way, and they are pushing this on even testing children because they are going after them. Remember, we just showed you that they're incentivizing more money for the children. Zero risk. Despite the fact that this is a very serious increased risk, three times increased risk for myocarditis. According to the studies they tell you to listen to. It says most of the spread and the vast majority of severe illness and death is occurring among those not yet fully vaccinated. That's literally false. And we just showed you that. So-called breakthrough infections in vaccinated people occur, but tend to be far less dangerous. Okay, Scotland shows you that's a lie. Israel shows you that's a lie. Malta shows you that's a lie. Iceland shows you that's a lie. Gibraltar shows you that's a lie. The U.S. shows you that's a lie. But let's just keep stating it as fact because Biden said, because the CDC and the media said, quote, we cannot accept this to be the new normal. Surely no one wants that, says authoritarian maniac Wen, right? They're pushing this on everybody and asking. So the point is, we don't want this to be the new normal. No, we want what we want to be the new normal. Okay, so now your options are what we're doing now or the thing they're pushing you into. False dichotomy, right? That's the point. No, we're going the other direction, Wen, and you're not part of that. It says, quote, I want to see the full power of the federal government, she says, here, and not more half measures. I want to see a hard reset. Interesting choice of words. A hard reset from the Biden administration. Not more nibbling around the edges. Right. She doesn't care about your rights. Federal officials are moving ahead with plans to begin administering booster shots of the mRNA vaccine to bolster a protection against the more transmissible Delta variants of the virus. And there you are. Okay, so ask yourself why. Why would you even step into getting this first shot to get the second one to then already know you need a third one after that? This is a nonstop train. It's never ending. And we all see that. That's why people right now, I believe 46%+ have still said no. Right now. And they're desperate to push it on you. Now, this meanwhile, as they continue to scream about this is meanwhile they are hiding the reality from you. They're pushing this on you, as I just showed you. Here's the actual article, just because they put a paywall because mainstream media is failing. But here's the study, or the article. CDC scaled back hunt for breakthrough cases just as the Delta variant grew. Why? Because they knew what was happening. They were hiding this from you. And even Bloomberg revealed, as I briefly mentioned before, that they had 111,748 breakthrough cases that they simply hid from your view. They just covered it up. That's 10 times what they were saying was happening. Because here they were saying, oh, we've got 10,000 cases. And they were lying to you. Bloomberg proved that they knew there was more. You know what happened after that? Absolutely nothing. Not even Bloomberg followed up. Who cares, right? We catch them in this egregious lie about the main thing they're trying to pretend is the opposite. And we just kind of move forward because that's how this works. Here's the executive order from Biden on requiring this for federal employees. It says the Delta variant, currently the predominant variant of the virus in the United States. Okay, remember that because they keep telling you that. Now that shows you, especially when the reality is that this is basically vaccine resistant and is shown to be so and shown to be the one problem, especially from Israel's data for the vaccinated. And they're telling you it's the most of this country. And also we know that the people who have natural immunity very clearly have very robust and lasting immunity against the Delta variant, as well as 23 others, according to science and all the main publications they tell you to listen to. So how is it that the unvaccinated are the problem when half this country have natural immunity, the other half are being injected, and they're clearly, based on all the data we just showed you, having a problem? And how can it be possible that you are 95% effective against the Delta variant when all the data says otherwise? It says it's highly contagious and has led to rapid rise in cases and hospitalizations. Yeah, in the vaccinated people. The nationwide public health emergency first declared by the HHS remains in effect. I just want to read that to you as well, as does the national emergency. Right, yeah, exactly. You are in a national emergency as well as the HHS, both of which were initiated under Trump's watch, both of which are the reason this is continuing. They're using the false sense of emergency. We're not in an emergency. The UK are on their own website says this is not a disease of high consequence. They says it still says that as of March 2020, it's not a disease of high consequence. The death, even the death information, even, I mean, you look back on previous, this is not even what they're telling you. Like, based on every metric, this is not as severe as they're telling you. Even if you believe the numbers they're telling you, which is obviously not as I've always said, I can't argue to what degree. But I can promise you the numbers they're showing you are not accurate. 100% because of the combination of flu and influenza, or flu and pneumonia with COVID-19, because of the PCR test and the false positive, because of 1,000 other things. You can argue what to what degree, but we know it's not accurate. You have to understand that. So when they're pushing these national emergencies on you, you have to realize they're using a fake, they use the fake 3.6% fatality rate, which turned out to be an obvious intentional lie. Right, that's what started the emergency. We're not there. We never were. Yet they continue based on the effects they're saying of COVID-19. And I showed you that in their actually in the renewal of the emergency. It didn't say because of the disease. It said because of the ongoing effects of it. You know what that probably includes? The lockdown effects. Now, it says COVID-19 vaccines are widely available in the United States. Oh, and by the way, when the vaccines continue to cause more problems, well, that's going to continue to justify the emergency, right? And it'll be blamed on you. They protect people from getting infected and severely ill. No, they don't. In fact, Biden, you clearly don't know what you're talking about, as we just proved to you that wasn't the case. And they significantly reduce the likelihood of hospitalization and death. Well, Scotland says exactly the opposite. But you guys don't care about data. You just care about narrative. Now, the Pfizer has recently approved, have approval from the FDA, he says, leaving out the, you know, the nuance, the context, which is that we're not even using that yet, that nobody has access to that yet. And anything anywhere you're using is still the emergency authorized version, because they haven't even barely started producing those new labeled same substance bottles. So he's lying to you. No, it hasn't been approved because they're not using it yet. They can say it's approved and pump those out in the factory, but the ones they're still injecting into people's arms are the ones that were authorized under emergency use, meaning they still have indemnity. They are not accountable. They know that. Biden knows that, or probably doesn't know anything, but the person telling him what to say knows that. But it says they've been authorized. The other ones have been authorized for emergency use. The FDA has determined that all these injections meet the rigorous standards and safety efficacy. Really? Okay. So he's saying this one has FDA approval. The other ones only have emergency authorization. And then he ends the sentence by saying all of them meet the standards. So why are they different categories then? How can they all have the same exact standards, yet some of them not be approved and some be approved? Remember, this has been the illusion that shell game in playing from the very beginning. There's a huge Grand Canyon sized cavern between emergency use authorized drugs and approved drugs. And the FDA has it right on their website, and I've read it to you 50 times. Yet they're here. They are simultaneously trying to rationalize that one you're taking over there, even though it's only emergency use, totally safe and effective. And the new one we just approved is equally safe and effective, but they're totally different though. It's really stupid. I have determined that to promote the health and safety of the federal workforce and the efficiency of the civil service, it is necessary to require COVID injections for all federal employees. The very thing that they screamed would never happen, that was not their place to do, that people said was illegal, fake news, and here they are, subject to such exceptions as required by law, which they're trying to pretend they're going to let people sidestep this, but they're not. It says mandatory COVID-19 vaccination for federal employees, mandatory coronavirus disease injections, exactly what we told you was always going to happen. Now let's get into the reality. Okay, so excuse me, let me read you his message first, right? My message to the unvaccinated Americans is this: what more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? Right, my answer is no, Biden, no thank you. Because I have a choice, right? So no thank you. What more do I need to wait for? Like, so it, again, no was never an option. This is Biden, you've said no, and now, but the approval, no, now what? What are you waiting for? You stupid idiot, right? It's just so obvious that there was never even an option for no. He says, we have made the vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. None of those things are actually true. It's coming out of your tax dollars. By no means is this thing safe, and it's not really convenient at all. But it says the vaccine has FDA approval. No, that's actually not true. 15 and up has FDA approval based on, without even doing the committee they promised they would do. So I don't even really see this as normal approval. It's a rapidly approved, like this is just so off the rails illegal and completely dishonest. But so they say they have approved. The FDA said they stamped it. The FDA stamp means nothing. But yes, they say it's approved. 15 and up. But not for the other ones. Not for the boosters, not for the 12 to 15s, not for the other people that you're saying you're pretending is all included, and they know that. On top of the fact, as I just said, they're not even using the shot they claim are approved yet. So they are tricking people. Over 200 million people got the shot. What does that mean? Over 200 million people got a lot of things that were really harmful, and you guys lied about. Do the right thing, he says, because it's a moral thing to inject yourself with something that you don't want to inject, right? Somehow it means helping other people by injecting yourself. That's the weird backward clown world, bizarro world reality they put us in. But no, they're not protected until you get over here. Silly. It's really silly. But here's the alarming part of his speech that a lot of people shared with me. Take a listen to what he has to say here.
What more is it to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine is FDA approved. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. You've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. So please do the right thing.
our patience is wearing thin, that's a threat. That's not even really a veiled threat. So what does that even mean? What's the obvious implication there? That their patience will eventually run out. And that means they're going to do something about it. Right? He's not talking about mandating this for federal employees. That's happened already. He's talking about you sitting in your home, pretending like this will never come to your front doorstep. He's saying, we will run out of patience at some point. Go out and do what we're telling you to do. You don't have freedom. You don't have a choice. We will come to you eventually. Do the right thing. Because his right thing is doing what you're told. This is alarming. I'm not going to try to pretend this isn't alarming. This is the kind of thing we always told you would happen if you did not stand up and do something about this. And I'm never advocating for violence. I'm advocating for action. Here's some more things he says. Of course, I'll play this clip as well. He says, quote, this is not about freedom or personal choice. This is the somehow bastardization of reality. They always do because some people, vulnerable people over here are suffering because of your personal choice. Somehow that means this becomes no longer about freedom, personal choice. You don't get freedom or personal choice where that person over there might have a bad day, right? Oh, this person over here might be hospitalized. So you don't get freedom anymore. Now, even if you care about that person being hospitalized, it doesn't mean you get to remove people's constitutional rights. And this is why people begin to say, ooh, constitutional rights, you stupid Republican, or whatever they want to make it out to be. As if somehow the two-party paradigm is, you know, only the Republicans have the lockdown on the Republican right. Like, constitutional rights are what this country is founded upon, whether or not they believed it when they laid it down. So to pretend that the Constitution itself is somehow some weird, archaic fringe thing that we're pretending, that's while then pretending constitutional rights matter, it's disgusting. I'll wait till the end. I was going to show you something I'm including, and that point was lined up right there for it. Other things they're pretending are violations of the Constitution while they're literally violating the Constitution. It's ridiculous. But take a listen to what Biden has to say here.
We must increase vaccinations among the unvaccinated with new vaccination requirements. With nearly 80 million eligible Americans who have not gotten vaccinated, many said they were waiting for approval from the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA.
That's not true. Not many, like that was a very small percentile. Even according to the mainstream media, it was something in the teens. Right. So what he's trying to do now is pretend that everybody, we got the FDA approval. So now it must be the misinformation that's stopping you from taking this very obviously risky thing. Right. And by the way, recognize in the beginning there, he's talking about you, all the dirty unvaxxers out there. We need requirements. Right. He's telling people what to do. This is all government mandate under the guise of some kind of choice.
Well, last month, the FDA granted that approval. So the time for waiting is over.
As he very clearly reads exactly what he's being told to say. It's just so hard to not see that.
Progress through the combination of vaccine requirements and incentives, as well as the FDA approval.
Do you know how insulting it is to pretend like those two things go hand in hand? Yeah. So we're incentivizing you and then also requiring you to do it. What an ignorant thing to say. Right. So no, I don't want your free ice cream. Oh, well, now you have to do it. So why'd you offer me free ice cream? Because we thought you were too dumb enough to take it. Right? It's like, this is so stupid. Right, here's $1 million. Nah, no, thank you. Now I'll take it anyway. It's a requirement. Nothing else matters if you're going to require it. Right? It's just so silly.
4 million more people got their first shot in August than they did in July. But we need to do more. This is not about freedom or personal choice.
Right. Your choice to take this thing is not about personal choice. Does that make sense? Right. It's not. It's not about personal choice because we're telling you to do it. We're telling you it's the right thing. So you don't get the choice. Do you see? It's just not about personal choice because that doesn't even play into this conversation.
It's about protecting yourself and those around you.
So you don't have a choice to protect yourself? Like, what if I don't want to protect myself? Right? They are not allowing choice ever. It never really was there in a lot of ways, and we're finally just beginning to see that. But this is what they're saying. It's not about choice. There's no freedom here. We've decided you're in danger, so that doesn't even count because it never really did.
People you work with, the people you care about, the people you love. My job as president is to protect all Americans. So tonight...
No, your job as president is to uphold the Constitution and let us live our lives. You see how this has changed over the years, right? It used to be, what's the scariest thing from the government? Oh, I'm the government and I'm here to help. Remember when Reagan said that? Everyone was like, oh, now it literally is what's happening. I'm the government and you have to take my help, right? We've gone completely the other way and they're, oh, well, now it's freedom. That's democracy. Nope. This is authoritarianism.
I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week. Some of the biggest companies are more employees. Rule. It's developing an emergency rule.
That's what it was. I had a thought there. So remember, again, it's only because of the emergency. They wouldn't be allowed to jam these things through and force things if they didn't have the unjust and ridiculous state of emergency where we're not in an emergency. That's what's happening. So they keep doing this. They keep, just like Trump did. It's the same thing. They're all the same. We need to begin to see that.
To require all employers already requiring this, United Airlines, Disney, Tyson's.
I'm going to leave it there. The point is that the test thing went away, right? That's the next part of this. The test is no longer allowed. They're forcing this on everybody, right? Here's what the Highwire says. Is there a bigger wake-up call than the president of the United States saying mandating a risky chemical injection has nothing to do with citizens' freedom? Think about that. Joe Biden on new vaccine requirements. This is not about freedom or personal choice. And remember, that was the point as of the update. That's for the clip. You do not, with no option to test out, you do not get the test. That's alarming in a lot of ways. Now, Howard Stern, of course, steps up and says, well, F their freedom. I want my freedom to live. Right. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. You know, it's so infuriating to see such a, like, you know, you want your freedom to live out your grit. Like, this is a person who clearly has taken at face value what the narrative is. Right. And he wants his freedom to live. This is a coward who is using children and other people around him to protect himself. Right. To continue to freedom to live his, you know, what's the right word for it? Like probably an unhealthy person. Let's say it like that. Right. So you got a lot of these healthy people out there. These people are cowardly running and hiding with their masks and their gloves and they're, you know, you need to be safe because we're all going to die while the people out there are trying to live their lives. He's trying to use you to protect himself. It's typically how this goes. Right. Not, and on top of any of that, F their freedom. Like, this is the kind, do you remember this guy is Mr. Freedom? Like back in the day, like fighting, oh, it's all about freedom to speak my mind and say my, oh, now we don't care about freedom though, because we've made our choice about what you're supposed to do. Yeah. I guess you could call him a sellout, but I don't think he ever really bought in. Right. I think this guy is a complete, always has been a mainstream stooge, but at the end of the day, F your freedom. I hope that resonates with all of his audience, people who thought he was a counterculture icon. He is the opposite of that. He is Mr. Mainstream, forcing an injection in your arm because he's decided what's right for you. It's disgusting. Here's United Airlines. Guess what? People who were already granted religious exemptions and medical, by the way. So this is what the Biden thinks. Oh, well, you can have exemptions by law, right? That's what Biden said. Except when the companies go, oh, well, we don't want you to work for us anymore. We're going to put you on unpaid leave. And guess what? Whether it's United Airlines or others, I'm already seeing plenty of examples of people not claiming it has anything to do with the injection, right? Well, it's not about the injection at all, except we're letting all of the unvaccinated people who have taken their medical exemptions, we're going to go ahead and let you go because of a refusal to accept company policy. That's happening right now. So they can sidestep the legal accountability, and they're firing people who have taken a legal avenue to exempt themselves because they weren't injected, because it's all about the injection. How about natural immunity? Do we forget about that? That's still coming. That's still part of this conversation. That is the big, gigantic 300,000-pound elephant in the room that nobody's talking about in the mainstream. They don't care. Go ahead and fire all of them. Half of them have natural immunity. Who cares? According to their narrative. Unpaid leave. You're going to fire these people for taking what Biden told them was a legal avenue. Anybody confused about where this is going? United Airlines employees who are granted exemptions to the vaccine mandate for religious reasons will be put on temporary, I'm sure it's temporary, unpaid leave, according to the airline themselves, citing the recent rise in cases. All you got to do. So based on some objective cases that have no bearing on the death count, which we continue to see, based on a PCR test, which is wildly, completely riddled with false positives, you're going to tell people who have a religious or medical exemption that they just have to go on leave, even though Biden just claimed they have a legal pathway for that? This is criminal. They said it would consider exemptions for religious and personal beliefs as well as medical reasons. Right, but you just said you're going to put them on leave without money. So you're not really considering at all. You're pretending you are. And you go way to the bottom and says, oh, guess what? By the way, not just religious, all the way at the bottom. Also, staff who are given medical exemptions for not getting the vaccine would put on temporary medical leave. So yeah, I guess the moral of the story is we're not giving them at all. There's no exemptions whatsoever, and we're lying and we're breaking the law. But we don't care about the law. And here is the point that I was going to reference before. So here they are screaming about how we care so much about the Constitution, right? Or excuse me, it's the reverse. Here they are over here saying, you know, we're going to force this on you. We don't care about your rights. The Constitution doesn't matter. Your rights do not matter where other people's risks are involved, despite that literally violating U.S. and international law. Here's the Justice Department suddenly suing Texas over state abortion law. Now, in no way am I diving into the abortion conversation in this. What I'm pointing out is that the Justice Department on Thursday sued Texas over this new state law, arguing, guess what? That it was enacted in open defiance of the Constitution. I don't know if I wanted to laugh or cry when I saw that. They are open defiance of the Constitution. How dare you do something that we politically disagree with? But over here, we don't care about that. Go ahead and force injections on people that don't want them. Go ahead and completely lock entire populations down inside their homes and arrest them and jam things in their noses and put them on lockdown and put them on ankle bracelets. And yeah, totally okay, though. No constitutional violations there whatsoever. This is just clownishly ridiculous. These people are ridiculous. And they know it. Like, I can't even believe they would even chance putting something out and say openly defying the Constitution while they're openly defying the Constitution in 1,000 ways. You know, states' rights, or, you know, I've made 100 different points about the Constitution since the beginning of this. How about international law, right? How about the fact that they're out there violating these kind of things left and right in regard to foreign policy? These people are hypocrites. All because they've decided this is an acceptable violation, it's okay because we're doing it for more virtuous moral reasons, so it's okay. Now, the end of the day, there are 19 governors. And 2 AGs resisting Biden's vaccine mandates. It's important for you to know. Now, I'm not familiar with this site, but the reason I'm including them is because they actually listed off a link to each one of their statements, and you can read them yourselves. You know, you can't have 19 governors resisting this, whether left or right or middle, and still walk away thinking this is some kind of a fringe conspiracy thing. They're trying to label half this country as some kind of fringe conspiracy, you know, right-leaning extremist white supremacist. It's just so childish and obtuse. Half this country, and they're making it out to be a fringe conspiracy thing that's overtaking the world with misinformation. No, not what's happening, but clearly they're trying to make something pretty serious happen. Now, the variant thing is important to understand, as I've been hinting at the entire time, okay? So going back to their points about how the it's still effective against the Delta variant, it's still this and still that. Well, clearly not. Here is Reuters from August 2nd. Delta infections among vaccinated likely contagious, which we've already told you. This is from the 2nd. It has gotten far worse than then. Since then. Now, I'm showing this for a reason, because I'm going to show you the escalation through the process. People have already been shown, verifiably so, in Israel and a multitude of other locations, that they're not only getting it, that they're sharing it, that the viral load in their nose, because they don't have mucosal immunity, which is what you clearly need to stop respiratory viruses. They knew this before they started, and they knew this wouldn't create mucosal immunity. So ask yourself why they did that. Probably because it continues to create transmission, not stop it, which creates variants, probably what they knew, my opinion. The point is that it is continuing to spread. And also the point was the higher viral load compared to unvaccinated, according to The Lancet and plenty of others. Well, was it The Lancet or in any case, peer-reviewed science? On top of that, Lambda variant, vaccine resistant, which that's already circulating in this country. So is Mu. Oh, Mu is in the United States now, right? All of them are being shown to be vaccine resistant. Before we get to that, though, this is the one I mentioned before. This adds to the other point. This is the Journal of Infection, peer-reviewed science. telling you from August 9th, infection-enhancing anti-SARS-CoV-2 antibodies recognize both original Wuhan strain and Delta variants, a potential risk for mass vaccination. I'll cut right to the chase. It says, antibody-dependent enhancement, which means you take the injection and you later get confronted with the natural virus and it increases what you would have otherwise experienced. You get a worse reaction than if you hadn't taken the injection. It says antibody-dependent enhancement may occur in people receiving vaccines based on the original Wuhan strain spike sequence, which is what all these are based on. Every single one of them, viral vector or mRNA, all of them are based on the original Wuhan strain spike sequence. 100% verifiable. And it says either mRNA or viral vectors, either one of them. People who received any one of these injections and then were exposed to the Delta variant, you can cause antibody-dependent enhancement. Not just possible, like it says antibody-dependent enhancement is a potential concern for vaccines. This is, they don't care about this. There's 100 examples like this. So right now, everyone taking this injection and then bumping up against the Delta variant, which is, that's why we kept showing you this, they're telling you that it is everywhere. The Delta variant is the majority. Where was it in here? Delta variant, currently the predominant variant of the United States. Okay, so that's the point. So if the predominant Delta variant is there and everyone's getting the injections based on the original strain for the spike protein, well, there you go. This is not hard to understand. This is peer-reviewed science. Doesn't mean it's 100% true, right? They could be wrong, lying, just like anything else. But the fact is they're telling you peer-reviewed science, what you're supposed to listen to, and they're not even acknowledging this. There's plenty more that I've shown you. I'm just trying to go through these reasonably quick today. I've shown you a lot around this exact topic. Here's the other one I just showed you a moment ago that's also showing you SARS-CoV-2 Delta variant is acquiring complete resistance to wild-type spike vaccines. Again, the vaccine's based on the original spike variant or spike protein, which is all they're based on. And on top of that, Lambda was already showing to be vaccine resistant according to new studies. We've shown you all this already. Now, on top of that, the Mu variant, which we're now saying, oh no, the Mu variant is now in the United States. That's what we're already hearing. Maybe you haven't heard it yet. Just look it up. All the news articles are covering it. Well, it's ineffective neutralization of the SARS-CoV-2 Mu variant by convalescent and vaccine sera. So this is arguing that even natural immunity, which this, by the way, though, is challenged by other stuff we'll get into in a minute that argues that you have this article right here. Ultra potent antibodies against other variants, including that one, by the way. But this, you know, like this is why you need to do your own due diligence and look at the research and find out. And then this would be the case where you would point out that this one is a preprint and this one is a peer-reviewed study on science. So one has more weight even in the scientific world, right? Doesn't mean one's right and wrong. Do your own due diligence. But nonetheless, the point is it's already showing you that this Mu variant is already showing to be resistant to the vaccines. Demonstrate that the variant is highly resistant to the vaccine, to specifically the BioNTech Pfizer injection, more resistant than other currently recognized variants, includes the Beta variant. Significant public health interest. It's funny. No, did you hear about this? Of course not. Anyway, the point is just to make the point. It's becoming resistant to vaccines. So the Delta variant is currently there. It's already showing the risk of extra having more severe reactions to any number of things. It's already being shown to be resistant to the vaccine itself. And then even if we jump to the next one, we're already showing vaccine resistance, even to the Mu variant. So right now, as they continue to pump this in everyone's arms and force it on everybody, and they already start pointing to the next booster that we're going to make boosters for the variants, it doesn't matter. It's not working. Natural immunity is the only thing that's being shown within even their narrative. And yet they keep telling you to force this thing down your arm or down your throat or, you know, whatever. Take the analogy. Ineffective neutralization of SARS-CoV-2 Mu variant by convalescent and vaccine sera. Read the study for yourself. But this brings us to the last part of the show today in regard to natural immunity. I played this in the beginning. Let's listen to it one more time. I really almost can't believe that this is the way this is being stated.
There was a study that came out of Israel about natural immunity. And basically the headline was that natural immunity provides a lot of protection, even better than the vaccines alone. What are people to make of that? So as we talk about vaccine mandates, I get calls all the time. People say, I've already had COVID, I'm protected, and now the study says maybe even more protected than the vaccine alone. Should they also get the vaccine? How do you make the case to them?
You know, that's a really good point, Sanjay. I don't have a really firm answer for you on that.
There was a study that came.
I don't have an firm answer for you on that. How can you possibly not have a firm answer? The NIH themselves have this study that says the same damn thing, right? I mean, this is what's so infuriating. Are we pretending he doesn't know about this study? Grabbing it really quickly to show you, right? Lasting immunity found after recovery from COVID-19, January 26th, 2021. Look at that, right? So are we really going to pretend that he doesn't know?
Out of Israel about natural immunity. And basically the headline was that natural immunity provides a lot of protection, even better than the vaccines alone.
Yeah, and we talked about that. I went over the study. I showed you the whole damn thing, top to bottom. And that was backed up by a lot of other scientific research that they're still ignoring to this day.
What are people to make of that? So as we talk about vaccine mandates, I get calls all the time. People say, I've already had COVID. I'm protected. And now the study says maybe even more protected than the vaccine alone. Should they also get the vaccine? How do you make the case to them?
You know, that's a really good point, Sanjay. I don't have a really firm answer for you on that.
It's just silly. The fact that he can get away with saying something, I mean, it really is ridiculous. And we've shown you so many of these, so many different studies around natural immunity that from The Lancet to everybody else, The Lancet's one of the best ones. Telling you, regardless of disease severity, oh, it's the wrong one. Oh, dang it. Oh, well. Well, I've included them plenty of times. Let me get this one back here. Actually, here, I'll just do this. That's silly me. That's why I included this. But, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so the fact, again, back to this, that they can state this, and I included a link to one of my main shows about this, is so on its face dishonest. Not only is the study say, you can't just reference that natural immunity is valid. You can't just point out, well, yes, that's obviously there. It obviously has a factor. We should be considering this in regard to whether or not they should be taking the vaccine. They don't care. The vaccine is the game. And at all costs, even somebody like Dr. Fauci, somebody who's obviously aware of things like this, is choosing to absolutely ignore it. So this brings us to an August 25th study that I want to read again. Conclusion. Comparing natural immunity to vaccine-induced immunity. This is the one they're referencing from Israel. The study demonstrated that natural immunity confers longer lasting and stronger protection against infection, symptomatic disease, and hospitalization caused by the Delta variant compared to the biotech two-dose vaccine-induced immunity. Their study demonstrated that your natural immunity conferred longer lasting protection against both in all infection, symptomatic disease, hospitalization versus the Delta variant. That is very, very sound, and it backs up everything else we pointed out, all the other peer-reviewed science. Now I'm just going to play this now since I already brought this point up. Let's watch this clip again, just for people that haven't seen it, really quickly.
Now here are some new studies. Here's one from Cell Reports Medicine. Longitudinal analysis shows durable and broad immune memory after natural infection. And guess what? With persisting antibody responses and memory B and T cells. That's a slam dunk. And this was, where was it? Right here. This was from July 20th, 2021. Here's The Lancet. June 1st, SARS-CoV-2 elicits robust adaptive immune responses regardless of disease severity. According to what they tell you, overall, the majority of patients have robust adaptive immune responses, regardless of the disease severity. Here's also the NIH from January 26, 2021, telling you lasting immunity found after COVID-19. You know, all the people we're supposed to be listening to, right? Here's Nature, most trusted scientific publications, May 26, 2021. COVID, had COVID, you probably make antibodies for a lifetime. Bone marrow cells that can churn out antibodies for decades, right? Probably make antibodies for the rest of your lives. And here's the WHO telling you, within 4 weeks, 90 to 99% of individuals who've been infected have detectable antibodies. Remember, that's regardless of whether it is severe. regardless of disease severity. So if not up to 99% of people, regardless of how severe, do have these antibodies, and nature tells you they can last the rest of your life, right? And this most recent peer-reviewed study tells you that it is durable and robust. This is huge, July 26th. On top of that, here's one from March 15th that adds something even more important. Regardless of any of what we just told you, a majority of uninfected adults, people that have not even been affected with COVID-19, show pre-existing antibody reactivity. There's no misunderstanding this. And it comes from The Lancet. It comes from NIH. Comes from Nature. Comes from WHO. Comes from a peer-reviewed scientific research. I mean, it just gets absurd that they're pretending this isn't there.
Great clip. Make sure you check out Instagram and everything else. Soon to be censored on TikTok. Now, this is very clear. And I show the clip just so I don't have to go another 45 minutes going through all those studies again. But that's important to remember. Right? This adds on top of all of that. And think, look at how definitive this statement is on top of all that science from Nature, from WHO, from NIH, from The Lancet. And it's clearly telling you the same thing. Natural immunity confers longer lasting and stronger protection against infection, symptomatic disease, and hospitalization. It's just plainly obvious. Now, here is the conversation saying massive numbers of new COVID-19 infections, not vaccines, are the main driver of new coronavirus variants. Now, the reason this is important is because, yet again, guess what they're forgetting, or rather completely choosing to omit? Natural immunity. It says the emergence of new, more contagious variants like Delta is being driven by uncontrolled transmission, not vaccines. Okay, well, uncontrolled transmission, I would agree, is largely happening right now. But if we just showed you that half of this country, if not far more, based on the increase since they've made that estimate, do not have the ability to, that they have T-cell, memory B, antibodies, even whether they're uninfected, by the way, that's the point. If half the country's already been infected and have all those things, and uninfected controls from both the other study and the uninfected one from the one we just showed you, uninfected people already showed reactivity from before this came around, where all that's happening is the injections being added, which is increasing people's risk. That's very clear based on the science. Uncontrolled transmission, not vaccines. How about both? But it says, to give rise to a new variant, it must successfully jump to a new person and replicate many copies. Well, yeah, this is what we're seeing happen right now. I mean, this is the idea is what they're talking about here is that there's and again, the point that I've always made from the beginning, yes, there are mutations and things that happen whether or not there's a vaccination in the mix. Things just that over time. But this is the point that many of these doctors have made, that it's usually, almost always, much longer. Not a new variant every 3 days or every week, right? And the point they keep making is if their argument is that if it's all unvaccinated, which creates the context for all this or the possibility, how then can you point to the middle of 2020 forward, the last half of the year, where everything, these cases were surging and everybody had all these, the biggest surges we see in the whole context of this whole thing. All people, and nobody was vaccinated. And yet we didn't see any of these variants until right when the vaccinations really began. How do you explain that? I mean, if the argument is the unvaccinated being present without the vaccinations cause it, because it can still spread, well, you should have seen variants popping off as even faster than we're seeing now. Now, as the vaccinations increase, we're seeing variants even faster. How do we not recognize that correlation? It says, research has shown that almost no mutated viruses are transmitted from the original host to another person. Interesting. It says the small odds of a mutant being transmitted is called the population bottleneck. The fact that it is only a small number of the viruses that start the new infection is the critical random factor that limits the probability that new variants will arise. Makes sense. It says, unfortunately, uncontrolled spread of a virus can overcome even the tiniest bottlenecks, which again points to how if you create a vaccine, it doesn't actually stop transmission. And actually, as we can see, seems to increase it. Based on the increased viral load, as has been proven by multiple peer-reviewed studies, then you can see how that could happen. But you see, we ignore all that, including the fact that people have natural immunity. So a lot of these people that are claiming are unvaccinated are not actually at risk. It says, with more than a million new infections occurring every day, and billions of people, by the way, that means PCR tests, they're saying, mean a case, billions of people still unvaccinated, susceptible hosts are rarely in short supply. But it's not really about the susceptible host. Remember, it's about the fact that this is encountering something that's different. So yes, mutations happen just because of variables all the time, which is what the article is talking about. But the rapid increase is of what we've seen is because it's coming up against something that is rapidly changing what it needs to do to reach the same effect, which is, by the way, what all the science before we got to COVID clown world were telling us. Vaccines are pushing pathogens to evolve. It's pretty simple. Just as antibiotics breed resistance to bacteria, vaccines can incite changes that enable disease to escape their control. Exactly. And this is from 2018. It's about the flu, but it's still exactly relevant to what we're talking about now. It says, so natural selection will favor mutations that can exploit all these unvaccinated people and make the coronavirus more transmissible. Now ask yourself why it would need to mutate to do so when the unvaccinated person doesn't have something new blocking its path. You have your immune system's already there, so there's always something, but this is something that these things are confronting on a daily basis. The new injection being put into the mix is something different. So yes, it will favor the mutations that it can exploit the thing that is suddenly creating a new block to getting to where it normally goes. But it goes on to say the Delta variant has spread around the globe and the next variants are already on the rise. Right. And they're already vaccine resistant. Now, how in the world do you argue that makes sense based on the vaccinated? How are the unvaccinated? How are people who are not injected somehow creating a variant that is now resistant to the thing that is over here? It's being resistant to these things because it's found a way to work around them. It's not that difficult. And again, it is based on this. We've gone over these in the past. And yes, I'll reference this one again, including the debunk from Forbes, which we'll point to in a second, which is ridiculous. These are already showing you the reality, right? And it is finding a way around the injection. Therefore, when it creates the variant or creates the mutations because of that action, it is now resistant to the vaccine because it found a way around it. I don't know why you can argue that people over here in a different part are somehow the reason that it doesn't make sense based on all what we know from before. And that's why plenty of doctors are speaking up about this. Even though vaccinated people, the Delta variant has spread around the globe and the next variant is already in the virus. If the goal is to limit infections, vaccines are the answer, it says. Except that's not what science found before this, it would seem. But again, the argument would be if it infected everybody. Now, look, you could even argue it was super deadly, which is clearly not true based on what they're literally showing you today. But even saying that was, let's just take at face value, that's the case. Well, it would have spread to the population. People would have died and then it would have passed. The vast majority would have walked away with natural immunity. And then it wouldn't have come back around the same way. Sort of how these other endemic things from the past are here, but they're not affecting people. Not by and large. Here we are introducing the injections, and now we've got 37 different variants and all these different... That's what's happening. But it goes on to say, even though vaccinated people can still get infected with the Delta variant, even though all of them seem to be, they tend to experience shorter, milder infections than unvaccinated individuals. Nope, not true. Simply false. Fake news coming directly from Scotland, from Israel, from Gibraltar, all these different places. And by the way, including hospitals in the United States that we've already shown you. This is them stating their narrative and pointing to people in politics and the news and what the CDC says is the case. Eventually, when nearly everyone has some immunity to the coronavirus from vaccination, which by the way, is literally right now based on their narrative. I'm not saying that's the case because I don't believe these injections are giving anybody immunity. My point is they're saying 54% of the country has been injected. Fully. On top of that, they're also telling you 160 million people and up to 200 million at this point have natural immunity, or rather they're saying have been injected. The Lancet and WHO and Nature all tell you that it lasts a long time and it's most of the people up to 99%. Okay. So that right there combined shows you that the vast majority already have immunity, which inside their narrative, they don't care about natural immunity. So that doesn't apply. See how that works? But it says viruses that break through this immunity could gain a competitive advantage over other strains. Okay, well, so based on their argument, that's only people who are vaccinated. So it's kind of like they're making your point for you. It is theoretically possible in this situation, natural selection will lead to variants that can infect and cause serious disease in vaccinated people. Well, that's quite literally what we're watching, right? Vaccine resistant. Yeah, but let's pretend like it's only on this side. Let's keep going. It says, it is theoretically possible. The world has already witnessed the relationship between the number of infections and the rise of mutants. Yes, exactly my point. The infections in the vaccinated, the point is the natural immunity people are not the ones getting infected. That's very evident by the data we just showed you. The coronavirus remained essentially unchanged for months, That's exactly until the pandemic got out of control. No, it remained unchanged until the injections began. And you can literally map that out based on the coordination, the correlation between the injections being given and the increase in cases and variants. Correlation is not causation, but it means something. The best way to stop new variants is to stop their spread. Well, yeah. And the answer to that is vaccination? No, don't agree with that. Because to stop their spread of the variants, it's clear what we need is the people that are allowing it to continue to stop, not the people that have immunity to most and almost all of the variants that are currently spreading, according to Science Magazine or science.org, excuse me. Before we get there, reiterating the discussions from before and the one we've talked about before, the peer-reviewed, and yes, it is peer-reviewed. And you know, somebody in the chat yelled, if I misattributed a peer-reviewed study a moment ago, my apologies. There's a lot of science flying around here. The point is, most of this is peer-reviewed. Maybe I misattributed one a moment ago. I do read all of these thoroughly. The point is, this is very clear. Imperfect vaccination can enhance the transmission of highly virulent pathogens. They're the ones claiming they're highly virulent. Delta variant, in fact, is virulent necessarily. It's not more dangerous based on all the data we have in front of us. It's just simply not, but it is more transmissible, it seems, based on what they're showing, they're saying. But on top of that title, it says, as we've shown you many times, and I've gone through this whole study, by the way, so it's not just the one sentence. We've read this all the way through, but this is the most important part. Vaccines that keep hosts alive, right? And this is because, in my opinion, the Delta variant's not that dangerous, but still allow, or COVID-19 is not that dangerous, allow vaccines that keep hosts alive, but still allow transmission, which is happening right now, could thus allow very virulent strains to circulate a population. Now, we read this, we read the whole thing with its context and showed you this is exactly what it's finding. Okay. Now, Joe Rogan read the sentence and made his points. And this is how these things get debunked as fake news, because he didn't know what he was talking about, says the author of the study, who was likely pushed into this by mainstream and politics, whatever. But here, let me show you why this is so silly. Here's Forbes. You know, and also point out, this is why they don't point what, you know, they don't do a deep discussion of, like, here's why Ryan Christian was wrong about this, because we went through the whole damn thing. Also because Joe Rogan's wildly more popular. But Joe Rogan is getting this completely wrong, says the scientist who conducted the study. Well, first of all, how about we point out there were a lot of people involved, right? So for Forbes to very disingenuously pretend this was the person who made the study, they want this to be all included. Here's what the scientist said. Joe Rogan's wrong and they misrepresented it. Fake news. That's not journalism. That is very obvious, subjective, cherry picked fake misinformation. And on top of that, here's what she has to say. Quote, "We're talking a very different virus and different vaccines." So that's why? So it matters that we're talking about a different virus? No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. And in fact, when you actually read this, it doesn't really matter. The context is not about one necessarily virus or the other. It's just simply about the highly virulent pathogens. Therefore, they use specific viruses when this was conducted in 2015 that were highly virulent. Are we going to pretend that it doesn't make that it's not valid because it was done before COVID-19 existed? A study that was done before we knew about H1N1 doesn't apply? Yeah, they've been doing it for 20 years. Of course they do. They apply studies that go back forever to current viruses. So this weird pretend sidestep that, no, that was about the flu, it doesn't apply. It's just childish. And that's why I can't believe there's scientists that watch them do this and go along with it. They know that's a completely unscientific thing to do. But first point was obviously ridiculous. Different vaccines, different stuff. Well, finally, someone's willing to admit they're different vaccines. I thought they were just the same thing. 20 years of efficacy. Nope. Totally different technology. See how the narrative can change based on what works for them in the moment. On one side of it, they're totally the same thing and they're all safe. But on this side, when you're trying to make them look, oh no, they're totally different vaccines. It doesn't even apply. Let's go forward. But unlike the COVID mRNA vaccines, the chicken vaccine didn't stop transmission at all. Did you hear that sentence? Here's the author of this, one of the authors of this study. Unlike COVID or mRNA vaccines, the one that they're pointing to in this study didn't stop transmission at all. She's literally implying that this vaccine stops transmission. It doesn't at all, based on all the research we've shown you, especially against the Delta variant. The CDC's already admitted that it doesn't stop transmission. It lessens symptoms. And even then, we're showing us not happening. That's her sidestep? No. The difference is this one stops transmission. So therefore, Joe Rogan's an idiot. No, therefore, you're a liar or an unscientific, or I don't know. You call it what you want. You're wrong. It says, and this is one of the key differences between what is being studied in Reed's paper and our current situation with the global pandemic. Those vaccinated chickens just kept churning out the virus for weeks and weeks and weeks. That's the key difference, they say? Nope. In fact, that's not, it's exactly what's happening. Vaccine resistant. They're continuing to spread it, just like the CDC admitted, the high viral load. They're churning it out for weeks and weeks. They have a higher viral load found in their nose. You see what I mean? This is a Forbes fact check, like they're debunking what Joe Rogan read in his one sentence. Even that makes them look stupid because they're wrong. It says, thankfully, COVID-19 vaccines reduce transmission. No, they don't. They just admitted they don't, especially against Delta variant. That was stated verbatim by the CDC Walensky director on, I think it was MSNBC. Delta variant, it does not reduce transmission. It does, though, reduce hospitalization and death. No, it doesn't do that either, but they're willing to admit the one. It goes on to say, evolution at the moment is all happening in this in the unvaccinated. Well, just basically proved to you that wasn't true. That's where the majority of cases are. Also, very clearly not true. She's just parroting what the CDC said, what the mainstream media said, as fact, because that's what a lot of these faux scientists do. That's the majority of transmission. Clearly not. Every time a virus replicates, it can mutate. That's true. So the evolution is right now occurring in the body of people who are not vaccinated. Well, that's just an assumption. And then Rogan is completely doing wrong by reducing it. Yeah, it's just so funny how they do these ridiculous. See, this person was tapped. Hey, did you see Rogan say something about your study? He's an anti-vaxxer. He's using your research to sell anti-vaxxer, which is not even what's happening. So this person gets all chimed. Oh, I'm going to go in there and say what they want me to say. My opinion. It goes, even though variants are more likely to emerge in unvaccinated people, which is simply not true, and a variant from a vaccinated person is still possible. Either way, the answer is vaccines. Which, how does that make sense? So variants can still happen with vaccinated people, but still just get vaccinated anyway. Okay, you know what situation doesn't allow that to happen? When people get infected, get natural immunity, and it goes away. That's the one that doesn't do that. It says, if a new variant emerges, quote, we can get second generation vaccines. Yep, that's what she said. So don't listen to those crazy people over there. Yes, vaccinated people can cause variants. Well, in that case, we could just make more vaccines. You see, it's perfect. That's really argument. It says, Reed accurately points out, as pharmaceutical companies are already developing boosters and second generation vaccines, there is your future, right? Don't listen to dumb Rogan over there reading the science and one sentence, but you know, pointing to the valid point. Just wait for more vaccines on the things that we're claiming won't happen because we're getting vaccinated. There's tons of things we can do in the future. It says right now we need to vaccinate as much as possible so we can keep making vaccines and keep taking them. Yeah, that's your future. So her argument breaks down to different vaccine, different time, which doesn't make any sense based on the fact that this is about a general concept of how these things work, right? And I showed you this. I've read the whole damn thing. And on top of that, arguing that the transmission is happening in the unvaccinated, despite the fact that I've shown you 100 reasons why that's not true. By and large, it's obvious this is not the reality. Oh, and that's pretty much obviously why Instagram is banning the hashtag or, you know, shadow banning natural immunity. Because it's a fake news thing, right? Just like that one article said, the dangerous theory is natural immunity. That's the mainstream acting like it's a theory, not some valid reality that we've used through our whole lives. You know, I guess chickenpox doesn't exist anymore. But the natural immunity part, which I just read to you to finish off, is important to reiterate. The other newest study that also finds very clearly 54 different studies. 54 studies from 18 countries, a total of over 12 million people. Over 8 months, okay? And they found that the prevalence of immunological memory remained high in 90%, 90% of them. They had CD4 plus 91%, memory B cells 80%, and pooled prevalence of reinfection was 0.2%. 54 studies, 18 countries, 12 million people. This is the reality. You do not have risk. And even the WHO said upwards of 99% of people who have an infection. And The Lancet says that regardless of severity, you have this lasting, according to Nature, the rest of your life. More than half the country has dealt with this, according to the CDC. Lanza says, regardless of severity. They don't care about this. And this is gigantic. Around 90% of people previously infected have evidence of immunological memory. And it says, which sustained for at least 6 to 8 months. They only say that because they ended after 8 months. The study itself says very clearly, right up to 8 months. It goes much longer than that, according to all the ones we just showed you in this last clip right there. And watch it again. Then finally, the last point, as always, is again the reality that science.org is telling you. You have ultra-potent antibodies against diverse and highly transmissible variants. It says, Wang et al. Identified 4 antibodies from early outbreak convalescent donors, meaning people that got sick back in the beginning and got better. And those are potent against 23 variants, including variants of concern, meaning Mu, Lambda, Delta. You right now, natural immunity are good against all these things, despite the fact that they're right now resistant against the vaccines. And right now that even the ones made by those spike proteins are creating antibody-independent enhancement. Are you getting the picture here? And they're forcing this on you anyway, even though they know all of this. And they know natural immunity. It is increasing your risk, especially for the people with natural immunity. More than half this country. And injections are increasing your risk 100%. Then on top of that, most of the people in general are not at risk from COVID-19. Most of them statistically significant, zero. Insignificant, I should say. And for those people, 100% is increasing your risk. The vast majority. This is quite literally increasing your risk. Of course, this will be censored. Get it out there to people. The reality is very clear based on the peer-reviewed research that they don't want you to see. Shocking. But thank you for being here today. Thank you for continuing to tune in and help me fight this. I didn't want this to be a 3-hour show, dang it. I actually moved a bunch of stuff so I can make this shorter so some of this could get out. But I did my best. We're going to continue to fight no matter what and continue to get this out. Now, I am going to do my best to not do it at every other day scenario. Even though that kind of ends up being how it is from 4 to 5 shows anyway, but just because every time I skip a day, it ends up being impossible to whittle this down to a smaller amount. I'd love to get it to, I know a lot of you love the long shows and I do sometimes myself, but we all know that the shorter shows, 20 to 30 minutes, even those can go viral. And some of the information we're sharing in these shows, they would go viral. Half the time we're breaking things on the show that nobody else has talked about, and then they get broken other stories, and that's great. I want it to happen. But the point is to get the most reach as possible before it gets censored, which is quick, now, right now. Get it shared while we're live, you know? But I want to end today with a video from somebody that I reached out to we've talked to Sivad in the past, and we play his clip at the end. I like supporting musicians out there. We used to have a radio station that just recently kind of got put away. Maybe we'll pick it back up again as we go forward, but it's important because music can reach people. It has a way, I always said that in the past, music and like comedy, it has a way of letting people's guards down. You know, you're listening and not realizing what you're digesting. Music can reach people. So take a listen to this artist. I think he's doing an amazing job. His name is Lucas Lyon, and the song is called 1984. I'll leave you with this. Thank you for being here. I love you all, as always. Question everything. As I don't have the, just like I told you yesterday, come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
The more we follow the rules, the sooner we will stop the spread. And so everybody has a responsibility to follow those rules.
They say it's 2021, but I ain't too sure. It feels like 1984. They've been mentally and spiritually waging war. Look where this leads, can't you see what they're aiming for? Orwell underestimated the capability of villainy and tyranny. These sick elites are masters of trickery. They're moving wickedly, watching the world bleed as they feed off our misery. The world's gone quite mad. Yeah, the human psyche has been hijacked. Propaganda bombardments, your mind is the target. They want to deceive and lead us into darkness. Fear is their greatest tool. Fear can turn the brightest minds to fools. Televised endless lies keep people terrified. That's the way they maintain their rule. Fear is the prison that they want us all to live in. And ever since the beginning, this has been their only mission. Politicians cause division. They're just here to blind our vision. Playing their position to distract us from their masters that are hidden. I think George had a premonition.
Seems like it's all coming to fruition. A race against time, now the clock started ticking. The whole thing ends once the people have risen. The only infection here is deception. They fooled the whole world with PCR testing. Look at all the facts they're neglecting to mention. That's too many questions and you can get censored. The thought police are patrolling. They don't want information if they can't control it. Nah, can't you see what's unfolding? 1984, George already wrote it. Yeah, said we're living within Orwell's chapters. No money for homeless, but there's money to track us. Tell me that ain't madness, now we're all anti-vaxxers. Just cause we question and seek to find answers. They want me scared for my life, but nurses can find time for TikTok dances. The media's a stage full of actors, manufactured psyops and distractions. Big Brother is watching and plotting, hands are the only things that they want washing. Nah, they want everybody locked in, taking your mind hostage till you've lost it. New normal. Lockdowns, the band's in motion and it ain't gonna stop now. You can see the plot now, it ain't even hiding. A real pandemic doesn't need advertising. It's an attack on our freedom. Businesses destroyed for no reason. Grandparents in care homes dying of loneliness, missing their families, wishing that they could see them. What about the patients on the waiting list who couldn't get their treatment? Look at all the havoc it's been wreaking. Suicide and depression increasing. Can't you see this is tearing us to pieces? I don't believe in a damn word the government are speaking. They're creeping towards more control. That's the true goal that they're seeking. And the vampires are just trying to sink their teeth in. What happened to the truth? Come to think of it, what happened to the flu? And what would happen if nobody watched the news? Red pill or blue, now it's time to choose. For real, be honest with yourself. Do you really believe that this is about health? It's never been, take a look, it's evident. The only thing that's spreading is the terror they've been peddling. That mask is a muzzle, only the strong will survive in this struggle. If you ain't seen the bigger picture yet, then you're just lost in the puzzle. Literally got you living in a bubble. The only virus in our lives is these liars and these tyrants that are trying to deny us of our rights and conspiring to annihilate the righteous. The sheep can be silenced, but they could never quiet the lions. We're rising. The veil has been lifted, consciousness has shifted to a higher wisdom. And we ain't gonna be victims of this system. We won't be prisoners, this is the resistance.